much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Stay off the f***ing set, man. For f***ing sake. Right, let's go again. Let's not take a f***ing minute. Let's go again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
I'm Mexican, and I find that offensive.
That's right, Mexico. Or as I like to call it, God's blind spot.
Let's practice a bit. Translate the following sentences into Spanish. Those prostitutes are very expensive.
Esas prostitutas son muy caras.
Do your parents know that you're a homosexual?
¿Saben tus padres que eres homosexual?
Let me see your tits.
Déjame verte las tetas.
Does anybody here speak English?
That's not America. That's not even Mexico.
And now,
get me Steven Spielberg.
He's unavailable.
Then get me his non-union Mexican equivalent.
Our feature presentation.
And this concludes the Kevin and Bean Cinco de Mayo celebration for 2011. Hope you enjoyed it. It was quite a party.
Woo!
Yay! Arriba! Arriba!
It's not the same since they clamped down, since the man came in and said, you guys aren't going anywhere ever, all the time, ever, right?
Yeah, someone emailed me yesterday and said, man, you guys aren't just the same.
I know.
It's so true.
Although I think our tribute to Cinco de Mayo will be every bit as good as our live 420 show was this year.
I beg to differ.
Which is to say non-existent. Yeah, we used to do a lot of that until Omar got horn happy at the St. Patrick's.
It was the horn.
I think it was the horn. There was the horn that killed the live broadcast. And now all of a sudden, Mr. Weatherby, our boss, is just, he's not interested in any show where this is played 2,000 times. To which I say, he just doesn't know how to party.
Exactly.
That's what I say. Anyway. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, folks. It is the 5th of May. It is the Cinco de Mayo. Thanks a lot for tuning in. How's everybody doing?
Good. Doing good. Yeah, I'll tell you what miffs me, if I may, just for a moment. Driving in this morning, I flip on the news. Mm-hmm. They're
as
just starting the news, as I want to do. And the first thing they say is, freeway completely closed, cars backing up.
Oh.
And then they go into 5 minutes of news before they tell me what freeway it is.
Oh, my God.
It's the 210 eastbound at Vernon. Just so I don't repeat that.
That
but
didn't
I'm
help
like,
you at all.
What?
That's I mean, how they get you.
And people have been stuck on that freeway for an hour.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's no good. That's a terrible
I just thought,
that is a terrible...
Somebody think, I am an eighth of a mile from my on-ramp. Please tell me what freeway it is. God.
You need to write a strongly worded letter. And
I
by
think
the way,
I will.
As a traffic professional, they it would be a courtesy for them to give you the information you need when you need it.
I think I have a leg to stand on here.
All right, this is the most amazing story, if true. Vanity Fair is reporting a never-before-told story from the week of 9/11. September 10th, 2011, Michael Jackson is in concert doing a sold-out performance at Madison Square Garden. Some of his friends that have flown into New York to see the show and hang out with Michael include Elizabeth Taylor, who, as you know, he's very, very close to, and Marlon Brando, same deal, right? So that's September 10th. The next morning, Michael Jackson wakes up, and like the rest of us, he's horrified by the news, and he sees what happened at the Twin Towers, and he says, I gotta get out of New York. So he frantically starts trying to get a private plane to take him out of New York. Well, we all know why that didn't happen.
Right.
Because airspace was closed down. You weren't allowed to fly anywhere. So he rounds up the gang, and he and Marlon Brando and Michael Jackson get a car, and they go to New Jersey to hide out for a night. Now, I guess they just wanted to be out of the city. And I'm sure there were a lot of people who said, we don't know what's coming next. This could just be, you know, opening salvo. You know, I've seen Independence Day. I know that they don't stop there. So they go to New Jersey and stay overnight in New Jersey. The next morning, they take a car and the three of them, again, according to a new interview in Vanity Fair from a former Michael Jackson assistant, I believe, the three of them get in a car and start driving across the country together.
Wait a minute. Michael Jackson, Marlon Brando, and who?
Elizabeth Taylor. They drive 500 miles across America to an undisclosed location in Ohio where they camp out for a while.
This cannot be true.
Right?
It's like
it could not be true.
It's so the beginning of a joke.
How would we not have? It does sound like the rabbi and the minister
right.
and the whore walk into a bar, doesn't it? They get as far as Ohio, all three of them in a car, and they drove themselves, according to the interview in the magazine. And my favorite part is Marlon Brando apparently annoyed the others by demanding stops at every Kentucky Fried Chicken and Burger King en route. So if this is true, how is it possible we hadn't heard about this before? How
because
is it possible
all of
there wasn't a sighting?
Yeah, I was going to say, all the people at the chicken places.
You would think
they
so,
would
right?
Recognize, at least Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Jackson.
I don't
you would
know.
Recognize just, them.
Nothing cracks me up more than the image of the three of them road tripping. And what do they listen to on the radio, and what do they talk about in the car? I mean, I guess they probably just would have the news on all the time, like the rest of us, just to find out what the hell was going on.
That but, is just too funny.
Oh, my God. It cracks me up so much to think about that. I mean, tell me somebody's not already writing that movie.
I was just thinking the same
thing. Tell me I wouldn't go see that.
Yes, this needs to be a movie.
A road trip with those three. Anyway, that's in the new Vanity Fair magazine, so I thought that was fascinating. So you might want to check that out, and we'll keep you posted on further details about that.
All right.
All right, got a new Kevin and Bean show for you today, of course.
Is it real?
Well, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, our old friend Adam Carolla stops by today. He's got a little feature called This Week in Rage, and we need to talk to the Ace Man about his attempt, and I think today's the last day of his attempt to be the world's most downloaded podcast. He's asking everybody to go to AdamCarolla.com or go into iTunes and subscribe to the Adam Carolla podcast, and we'll find out why, and we'll talk to Ace Man coming up later on today's show.
All right.
Got to talk to phone screener Chip. As you know, she got not one, but two huge tattoos this past week.
You have to remember that Chip is, I don't know, 90 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's,
and
she's
not even 5 feet tall, probably.
Practically a little person. Yeah.
Yes. And these are bigger than her.
But she could kick anybody's ass.
Yes, there is that. There is that.
Was she trying to look tough? Is that why she did it?
I don't know.
She's paying tribute to her bands, Bean.
Yeah, but the guys in the Offspring like the Offspring. They wouldn't get a tattoo this big on themselves, all right? And they're in the band.
See, it's a fashion thing to me. If you're little, you wear little prints. You don't wear big prints, right? And really bold things. And Chip broke the rules.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like they could have scaled those down, but no. But today we'll be taking your telephone calls. If you followed in, or if Chip followed in your footsteps and got tattoos from her musical heroes, we want to find out how that worked out for you. Because as much as you think you love fill in the blank today, how will you feel about them in 5 years or 10 years? There are probably a lot of people out there with Creed tattoos because at one time they were a huge, huge band.
Mm-hmm.
And how must they feel now about that? I think Chip is probably pretty safe. I don't think the Foo Fighters or Offspring are going to embarrass her.
Right. Those are good choices.
Good choices if you're going to do it. But I think there are probably some people who have made poor choices. So we want to talk to those people today on the show. We got a follow-up. We ran out of time yesterday. We were talking about the Miley Cyrus Nirvana cover, or Smells Like Teen Spirit, that she's been doing in concert. And we were just overwhelmed with people who wanted to suggest other awful cover songs. So we'll revisit that topic coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Omar has a word from high school, I think, a popular expression in high school that he's trying to bring back. And he's trying to enlist all of us to help him get this word back on the radar. I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see what you think. That's also coming up next hour. Brand new internet roundup on the program today. Our friend Dr. Drew will be here, who has, as you know, his new headline news show in addition to everything else he's doing, and is coming on today to talk to us about his latest TV show, the HLN show. That's so 6 weeks ago, Lisa.
Oh, come on. This isn't true.
He's got a brand new show debuting on the CW he wants to talk about.
What? How is that possible?
I don't know. If he's not doing meth, he should be. There's no other way to understand how he can keep that schedule. But he'll be on the program today. We got a new Beans Death Corner for you. And our buddy Psycho Mike stops by today. You know, it's practically summertime. Maybe time to get that body back in shape. So it's been a while since we've done the Psycho Body. Mike will be taking your fitness and exercise and health and food questions coming up later on today's show, too. So that's quite a bit of a program. None of it related to Cinco de Mayo.
Sorry.
But we'll do the best we can. Coming up after this, Ralph Showbiz Beat is next on the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011 is happening Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale when? Today.
What?
Noon.
Yes. What?
Noon today. Be a K-Rock Street Team member free. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details and buy your tickets. Good luck. It's 5:48.
Can't wait to see Lily Nene Leakes.
Neither
no.
does
I love the Housewives of Atlanta.
Leaky Lee.
It's going to be great.
Leaky Lee is the artist that we're talking about that's playing, Ralph. What? Hey, why not stick around? Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Cinco de Mayo for Thursday. What's going on?
Why not stick around?
Well, I mean, because a lot of people, the impulse might be to hit the button now as soon as you walk in. But I'm saying give the boy a chance. He's got something to say.
I see what you're saying. Because they wanted to stick around and linger through your cross-country Michael Jackson story.
That's an awesome story. Tell me it's not.
Well, tell me it's true, first of all, and then it's an awesome story.
I want it very much to be true.
Okay. One time, Howard Hughes was picked up in the desert by this guy, and they drove a long time, and then he gave him like $20 million.
I heard that.
It was for reals. Yeah. Happened in a movie. Sorry, ladies.
Right.
Superman's engaged. Oh. You have no chance to have sex with Superman. Henry Cavill, who, of course, got the nod to play the Man of Steel in the latest big screen version of that story, just got engaged to his girlfriend, Ellen Whittaker, as they made a trip together to Hollywood. Apparently, she was surprised by the proposal, but so happy. And like any good red-blooded superhero would, he asked her father's blessing before he popped the question. So
that's a classy move.
Very romantic.
He is Superman.
Now, we've seen this before. Why get engaged now before you become super famous and can get much hotter chicks?
Maybe he is better than you.
Maybe he's in love. I don't know.
But still, he's in love with what was available to him when he was an unknown. Once he's Superman, then he can date Megan Fox if he wants, or whoever.
I don't know if you've seen this dude, but they were all available to him all the time.
He's been doing fine.
He's fine. Okay. It's not like you get famous and rich all of a sudden, and then you got options.
Right.
This guy walking down the street could just point and click.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And by click, I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, we got it. All right.
I think you understand.
Yeah!
More Superman news. Perry White is dead. Jackie Cooper, the actor who played the editor of the Daily Planet and all the Christopher Reeve movies, has passed away at the age of 88. He has been a movie star, well, just about longer than anybody. He was nominated for an Oscar when he was 9 years old. Hmm. He was the star of the Our Gang comedy shorts, Little Rascals. He was in that group back in the
30s, right?
Yeah. Then picked up an Oscar nod for his role in a movie called Skippy in 1931. Served in the U.S. Navy in World War II, became a director, won Emmy Awards for his directing for episodes of MASH and The White Shadow, and will be known to Superman fans forever as Perry White, starting in 1978 with the film Superman with Christopher Reeve, and then three more after that, so... Long, successful life for Jackie Cooper.
He was an old man when the Superman movies came out. Who would have guessed that he would have outlived Christopher Reeve by so many years?
Yeah, so true. Adele celebrates her birthday today. One of the most popular singers in the world right now.
Yeah.
But even though you're rich and famous and successful and talented and lovely, it doesn't keep you from putting your foot in your mouth. She was recently on the BBC talk show Graham Norton, which, by the way, if you're not watching, if you get BBC America on your cable or satellite outlet, I recommend that show highly. It's very entertaining. I think it's on Saturday nights. She was telling Graham Norton on his show that she ran recently into Jennifer Aniston in a restaurant bathroom. And Jennifer immediately recognized her, apparently a big fan. So the two started chatting in their respective stalls, as women are wont to do.
We do that.
You talk a lot more than men do in the bathrooms,
yes,
ladies.
Yes.
And Adele was talking to her and called her Rachel.
Oh.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Which, of course, was her character from Friends, not so much her real name. But that's
how
hilarious.
Embarrassing.
That's awesome. At that point, I just stay in the stall. Or I just keep flushing. Hopefully, I go out to the river at some point.
Or as she leaves, you yell out, "I'm not Adele! I'm not Adele!"
Why would you do that?
Because you're so embarrassed. You don't want her to think it was you that made that error.
You're throwing her off the scent.
Right.
I got you now. More to the Andy Dick story, maybe the most tragic part of the whole story about Andy being arrested for being drunk and disorderly in public Monday night. He was in Temecula, California. All right, that's already bad enough. But it turns out the scene of his drunk and disorderly night of hardcore partying and rock star lifestyle.
Right.
Marie Callender's.
Yay!
That's where he got a load on and cops had to be called at a Marie Callender's. What did he get drunk on? Rum raisin pie? What do you get? How do you party so hard at Marie Callender's that they have to call the cops? It's Marie Callender's.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was in some hot spot, swinging Hollywood nightclub. What are you in for? Oh, I got drunk at Marie Callender's.
It's pretty awesome.
I had to call the cops.
Hey, everybody here is thinking, you know what? This guy's drunk.
Casting news. The John Gotti movie is moving forward. John Travolta's wife, Kelly Preston, has been cast in the role of John Gotti's wife, who is played by John Travolta. Well, so they'll be playing a married mobster couple as well. Lindsay Lohan will be starring as their daughter-in-law, Kim Gotti. Joe Pesci will play Gotti's buddy, Angelo Ruggiero. And even Travolta's daughter, apparently, is getting into the film. She's been cast as their daughter, Angel Gotti.
Jeez.
So it's a family affair, this Gotti movie. And they've just got a new director, too. It was supposed to be John Cassavetes' kid, Nick Cassavetes, but he left the production, and now legendary director Barry Levinson has stepped in. So.
Oh, wow. It just got better.
It did get better.
You didn't watch The American Idol last night, did you, Ralph?
No, sir. I'm off American Idol.
Kelly Preston was there, and I'm not all that familiar with how many kids they have or if she had her own, and then they had some together. I don't know what the situation is with the Travolta. The
situation's not one of their kids. I would know that.
Ryan said, here's actress Kelly Preston. She's here with her daughter. And it was a much, much older kid than I thought. I mean, do they have like a 20-year-old or something? Do they have an older kid, too?
Let me look here in the Travolta family tree that I carry with me. No, it doesn't have a 20-year-old on here, no.
Yeah, that's just surprising to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a... Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it was just a brief shot. Maybe the kid was a little younger than that, but I mean, he was definitely a teenager at least. But I just was surprised by that.
I don't believe she has any other kids with... anyone else other than Travolta?
Yeah,
I don't know. She's so hot, though.
Maybe Ella Blue is the older one. I believe their youngest one was the son who passed away. So,
right,
and he was 13 or something, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hopkins also there in the audience last night, inexplicably.
Tony,
looking like he was having the time of his life, just laughing and applauding and jumping up and down. It's just like, what's going on with this?
I heard he got on stage and sang "CeeLo's Forget You." Is that true?
I would have paid to see that, but no,
I might have missed that. Oh, I wish Omar was here right now next to me. Well, largely because he always has the best drugs, but secondly, because this story would be right up his alley. There is a Glee movie headed for theaters.
Oh, yes.
That's fantastic.
DJ Omar Khan.
Producers of the hit Fox show say the movie will merely be a 3D version of the Glee concert tour, which features all the kids from the show singing all their signature songs. Film is slated to hit theaters August the 12th, so it'll be this summer. You get to see Glee in 3D.
That is not going to do well.
Oh.
I bet it
does. Bean, you couldn't be more mistaken.
Look, I know people will watch it on TV, but I don't think anyone has the passion for them as musical artists. They like the show, but I don't think people are excited like they are to go see a Justin Bieber.
Oh, here he is now.
Movie.
Here's Omar now. Hey, Omar now.
The last thing we need is Little Precious in 3D, by
the way. 3D!
Not with that.
Oh, I can't wait to see Lea Michele in 3D.
And her nose coming
dancing.
Flying at you.
How dare you, sir?
Oh, my God. It's
be gone. Be gone with you. I think there are kids worldwide who are still gleeks, even though some of us have the show has lost its luster. There's still a lot of hardcore gleeks out there, and I think they will show up in force for this
movie. Yeah, maybe so. And that little Chris Colfer seems to have quite the fan base, too.
Yes, he does. Madonna married director Guy Ritchie. Now, let's talk about love, shall we? Guy Ritchie, a Brit, was uncircumcised when he married Madonna. Apparently, that was not okay with Madonna.
Oh.
And so, after they got married, he had the painful procedure of getting circumcised done to please his wife and, more importantly, her Kabbalah beliefs. Because, you know, the Jews, they like you clean-shaven down there.
Sure.
And by clean-shaven, I mean they like you, you know.
You don't have to tell beer mug.
Lose some of that extra skin.
Is it just me, or is this guy a little bit of a dick?
No, he isn't. He did it for love. And now he's...
Now he wants it back.
Yeah, now he wants it back.
Yeah, this is foreskin restoration surgery.
I think
they have that.
I think that ship has sailed. But He said he was so in love with her at the time that he was willing to do whatever it was to make her happy, and that's what she wanted. Well, look, she already had his balls, you know, so why not?
I have a British accent, I'm possibly homosexual, I never brush my teeth, and my wife is ghastly.
No, stop. Today's celebrity birthdays, our buddy Lance Henriksen. You remember him from Millennium and from Aliens?
Mm-hmm.
Good actor, 71 years old. Drummer Bill Ward of Black Sabbath is 63 years old. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen celebrates his 52nd birthday. I'm sure we'll be playing them sometime today, given the latest spate of music we've been playing on this show. Tina Yothers from Family Ties is 38 years old. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World. She's got her own show over on Style, which is kind of like The Soup. I think it's called The Stew or The Broth or what, the
I don't know. I've seen it a couple of times.
The Bouillabaisse, The Chowder. What's it called? I can't remember, but yes, it's very soup-esque. She's 30 years old today. Clark Duke, very funny actor from Kick-Ass and Hot Tub Time Machine. He's 26. Singer Adele, as I mentioned, celebrates her birthday today. She's 23. And singer Chris Brown is 22. Ding, ding. Round two. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. By the way, yesterday, Ralph, you hit quite a chord with our listeners with your theory that I don't think anyone had ever heard articulated before on who's allowed to do cover songs, mm-hmm. what the hierarchy is of people who are allowed to record, with a few exceptions that came out in the conversation with yesterday. But what was the rule? And then we'll explain for folks who weren't with us yesterday why we were talking about this particular topic.
The rule is equal or greater, go ahead and cover. Equal or less, you're a mess. Just remember it that way.
Okay. So in other words, if you're an artist on par with or a talented enough artist to pull it off.
In your own realm, you know. Obviously, you're not going to be the Beatles because there's only one Beatles. But if you're, you know, a pop band or something that has some credibility equal to in your own sort of time period and genre or whatever, you can record a cover of that artist. But if they're much more talented than you, you can't move up and cover artists that are much more talented than you. But if you're really talented, you can always go lower and record something.
So so Pearl Jam could record anybody they want, Dave Matthews, anybody they want, but maybe Ashley Simpson should stay away from the classics.
Bingo! Bingo! Okay, that's what I'm saying. And Miley Cyrus, all. She should stay away from all music.
Even her own songs.
Especially her own songs. You should not sing those.
Well, here's why it came up. We put this up at KevinAB.com yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to see it, you should. She's on stage in Ecuador, I want to say. Mm-hmm. She's part of her South American tour. And she gives tribute to the album that she says is her biggest inspiration. The album that made her the artist she is today. And, of course, it's obvious. You can see the through line between Nirvana's Nevermind and what Miley Cyrus is doing today. I mean,
Absolutely.
Clearly she's just ripping them off.
Yeah.
But I've never heard that she had done this before, but she performed in concert, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And people were just outraged, not only because it's bad, and we can all agree it's not good, but because they felt like she had no right to even attempt to cover that song because she violates Ralph's theory. She's a lesser artist. She's Miley Cyrus. They're Nirvana. It doesn't work.
Right. She has no credibility. They have all credibility. So it's just too much of a disparity there, and it throws the universe out of whack.
So let's listen to a little of Miley singing Nirvana, and then we'll play some of the songs we didn't have time to get to. I mean, the emails and texts and Twitters were just flooding in all day yesterday from people who were like, yeah, but you forgot. So we kind of wanted to clean up the topic because there are a lot of cover songs that really drive people crazy. They can't believe they got made. They can't believe they became hits in some cases. But here's the one that started the conversation, a little bit of Miley singing Nirvana. Make it stop.
By the way, do yourself a favor. Go online and find yourself the video that mashes up Elaine Bettis from Seinfeld dancing and Miley Cyrus on stage dancing. Puts them back to back, and it is hilarious because she dances just like Elaine in Seinfeld.
And part of it is that there's a lack of authenticity in Miley's performance. Even if she were a better vocalist, she doesn't understand what the song's about. She's not feeling it. She's just singing.
She's trying to be cool. And she's trying to show she's not Disney anymore. And F you, you pan-faced ugly bitch.
So once we opened up the floodgates and people were calling in with other cover songs, particularly if it's a well-known artist covering another well-known an artist, and some of them really bug, and this is one that got some of the most comments. It wasn't a big hit, but we did play it here on the Kevin and Bean Show because we used to love to make fun of Duran Duran doing the classic from Public Enemy, 911 is a joke. Yeah.
Wow.
And part of the problem with that is, again, and this is going to be this is going to be true with a lot of them, is that the original is so great and so classic, but particularly in this case, the original is so black and Duran Duran is so not.
Yeah, that's a real tough hurdle to cross if you're a white artist trying to cover anything that's sort of street or hip hop or black. You end up looking foolish for the most part.
And I'm also going to say, and we go back to the credibility of the person singing the lyrics, Simon Le Bon has never had any trouble getting 911 to come to his neighborhood, okay?
Yes.
Chuck D can sing about that. That's legitimate from where Chuck D came from.
Simon's got a private security force. He doesn't need 911.
Yeah, that's true. All right, here's another one. And this was a big, big hit for 311. They covered another classic song by The Cure, Love Song. I don't dislike this one as much as a lot of people, but this was very, very frequently mentioned yesterday. Any thoughts?
It
just doesn't do anything for me. I mean, it's not as good as the original,
no,
and it's virtually a carbon copy. It's not offensive to me. It's just boring.
Even if you're a good artist, you do have to kind of put a new spin on it. There's no point in just trying to replicate the song.
Right. Sometimes cross-genre is tough, and never more so if you have the wrong country artist taking the wrong rock and rap song, as was the case with Big and Rich and their cover of the Beastie Boys. Listen up.
Now your mom threw away your best country man. Fuck that! You gotta fight for your right to party!
Oh, please die.
What are you saying?
Right? You know, I hate country to begin with, and then to have them do that on top of it. And then after watching this dude on Celebrity Apprentice all season long, just what a dick he is. Oh, I just hate that even more than ever.
He's not a dick.
Oh, he's a massive dick.
I think he's a terrific player on Celebrity Apprentice, by the way. But I will say that is a completely unnecessary and sacrilegious cover of the Beastie Boys song. No es bueno. All right, we get into a bunch more from yesterday that we didn't have a time to play on the air. Here's one that got a lot of votes, too, and I had totally forgotten that they did this. Remember Limp Bizkit Kids? Well, they decided it would be a good idea to take on a classic from The Who called Behind Blue Eyes. Listen up.
That's
Miley Cyrus.
All
right.
Yeah.
Stand by, please.
Thank you, Beer Mug. Awesome. Now, The Who, you know, one of the great classic rock songs of all time.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit, maybe not so much, but let's see what they did with it.
No, that's okay. Miley Cyrus. Still Miley Cyrus. Yeah. We were looking for Limp Bizkit doing Who. Doing the Who song behind
Blue. Let's play that.
Omar's going to take care of it now.
Okay.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man.
Boo, you suck.
Behind blue eyes.
Get off the planet.
Beermont, can you adjust that music so I can hear it as well? Just so it'd be easier for me to play along if there's
there you
any
go.
Way we can do it.
There it is.
All right, next up we have another one that's one of the all-time great vocalists of all time, and I don't know how he missed on this one, but the great Biz Markie. What about that?
That's
what about Biz Markie doing Elton John?
It's so much of it sounds like drunken karaoke night.
Yeah.
It's just horrible.
A lot of people wrote in and mentioned a song by Faith Hill that I think she's recorded on. She's performed on a couple of shows recently, too. She had a cover of the great Janis Joplin song, Piece of My Heart. Now, again, this is an iconic rock song that a country artist tried to make her own. Do you think she succeeded? Do anything for you, Ralph?
I have no problem with that. As much as I don't like country music, and I don't particularly like that version of that song. It sounds like a country song that could be a hit on country radio, notwithstanding the Janis Joplin version. If you had never heard of it, you could say, oh, right, yeah, that's right. A pretty good country song. It sounds so like something different enough that she put, you know, a spin on it that made it worthwhile.
Yeah, she made it her own a little bit, as opposed to, say, the 311 or something like that, where right. They just kind of covered it. Interestingly, by the way, the Janis Joplin version of Peace of My Heart is also a cover.
That's what?
A cover of, that's, she didn't even do it first. It
goodness.
Originally a soul record by Irma Franklin.
Oh, I'm so glad she's dead then.
And finally, here's the last one that got a number of mentions that we wanted to do. And here, again, this is one that I don't agree with. And the King of Mexico was incensed that people were making fun of his Gwen. But a lot of people apparently love the original of It's My Life by Talk Talk. We're not crazy about this version from No Doubt.
I didn't even know there was an original version.
Really?
That's the only version
the
I know.
Oh, no kidding.
No Doubt's version is the only version I know.
Now, did you like No Doubt's version?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. I was surprised that so many people had mentioned that one. But so I guess the rule of thumb, then, is stop it. That's basically what we're saying,
right? Err on the side of caution and just do your own goddamn songs.
All right. That's good advice from the Kevin DeBeach Show. Speaking of Nirvana, by the way, there is a great cover version of that song by the Polyphonic Spree. They're doing Lithium. Very good. I can't believe we opened up the floodgates on these cover songs again, because now we're hearing from a million people again. Here's one from Lewis, who says, what about Come On Eileen by Save Ferris? What about that cover? I thought they did a great job with that song.
I like that, too.
Yeah,
that
was good. I thought it was really good. I don't know if he's dumb, but I'll tell you who is dumb. Tell you who is dumb.
What?
DJ Omar Khan.
How dare you, sir?
DJ Omar Khan is driving us crazy because he's decided he's the guy who's going to bring back a popular expression from when? From your junior high school years?
Yeah, junior high. It was huge in junior high.
Timely.
You know? And the word was ahead of its time. That's why it kind of like it lost the luster. And it didn't stand the test of time.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Some words come out or expressions come out, and they're in the English language to stay, and they never go away. They just become part of the vernacular. Right. Then there are other things that come along. You know, I'll give you an example of something that just came to mind. Remember when South Park was all over the everything was hella this and hella that? Everything was hella stupid, or it was hella hot, or it was hella whatever, and everybody was saying it for like 3 months.
Right.
And then it just kind of faded away because people said, I'm tired of that. And it'll. I don't know if it'll ever come back, but it's gone for now. It's dead and it's buried.
It's hella gone.
Yeah, and that's what happens with most of those little expressions. Most of them don't last. They don't stand the test of time. And I think the problem is you're trying to bring back one that, well, I certainly don't remember from the first time around, but maybe I just missed it. You're trying to bring back one that's so stupid, I can't imagine
it's not,
that you
catch it's on. The best ever.
All right. I'm going to give Omar the opportunity now. And Dave's here as backup, by the way, because Dave apparently used it too at the time.
Oh, yeah.
What's the hot, old, now new expression, Omar, that you want us to all start using?
LOP. L-O-P. It's defined as, you know, you're a moron, you're a buffoon, you're an idiot, you're a jerk, you're an a-hole, you're a loser. But all you have to say is, you're a LOP. And it's you see, it's funny. It's funny.
It's funny, but what's it made of? How did it occur?
The letters L-O-P. That's what it's made of, Lisa.
Is it like loser plus something?
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. Come on. No, I'm not doing that kind
of
research. But
can you use it in a sentence?
Yes.
What's the origin of the word?
Lisa May is a lop.
Exactly.
A lop.
There you go. Yeah.
Now,
it was huge.
I don't even know
never heard
what
it.
That is.
Really?
Now, there was a time before tool was used to mean the exact same thing. I mean, at some point, somebody started calling somebody a tool, and it stuck, and now that's part of the language. LOP did not make it that far.
But
where was LOP popular?
It was, I grew up in Fontana.
And where were you?
And I grew up in East Los, so it's in the hood, you know?
Okay, so it's
street.
In those places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so
no wonder I never heard of it.
Why are you going to know about it? Why are you going to know about LOP? They're missing out. So here's our chance to bring it to them.
Is this a brown thing?
Maybe.
Well, look at the boy standing here.
It has to be. It is true.
You be the
like,
judge.
If Whitey Lisa and Whitey Bean, if we try to use LOP, is that like throwing up the wrong gang sign? Are we likely to get shot?
Whitey, you're a LOP.
I think maybe back in the day, but now it'll be more acceptable.
You'll let us
use it? We'll let you guys use it.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
for
nice
sure.
Of
for
you.
Sure.
May I remind you that I'm the guy who singly brought back Rad and Not. So I think I'm going to back Omar and bring back Lop.
Yeah, with Dave's got my back, it's going to make it, for sure. Lop's coming back.
What made you? Everywhere in two
months. By the way, if anyone else wants to join the bandwagon, if anyone else is down with Lop returning, or even knows what the hell it is, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. What made you think of it after all these years, Omar? How did Lop even come into your mind?
Well, you know, as you get older, you start thinking about your life, and, you know, I've been really feeling empty inside. Yeah, really empty inside, and I was trying to remember when the last time I was really truly happy was, and it was when I was using the word Lop. So I'm bringing it back, and I'm going to be bring a bunch of cheer, joyness, and happiness to all the Kevin and Bean listeners.
I'd like joyness.
Yeah. You know.
May I insist that you go back into the studio after this conversation and record a cover of Justin Timberlake's "Bringin' Sexy Back" and make it "Bringin' Lop Back"?
Absolutely, it's done.
Let's talk to Pat. He's on line three, and apparently he's got some love for Lop. I can't believe I just said that.
Love for Lop, man.
Good bad. Hey, Pat, you heard of this imaginary Lop word that Omar made up?
This is not an imaginary word, the word Lop. Lop we've been using for a long time. I'm 24. I'm from Anaheim. I've been using Lop high school. We just defined it hitting football that wasn't very coordinated, and they fully fell over. We called them Lop.
Yep. He's a Lop.
Yeah, he's a dummy.
So let me ask you this. So you're telling me, it sounds like, Pat, we're having some trouble with your phone line, that you never stopped using Lop? You've been using Lop since high school?
I used Lop yesterday to describe my friend.
There you go.
Absolutely. So it's kind of been underground.
Yeah,
it's underground.
See?
We're going to bring it to the forefront.
Lop is used in my whole circle. So
Man. Thank you very much. So you've already got some support. You're not starting from actually literally zero, Omar. It sounds there like there's go. Already some use out there.
Absolutely.
Let's try Dan. He's got a ruling on white guys, whether white guys can get away with Lop or not, or if it's just a Mexican thing, in honor of Cinco de Mayo, of course.
Arriba.
Hey, Dan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm from Covina, and we use it all through junior high, man. All the white guys use Lop. So
really? Word. Now, at some point, did you just grow tired of it and stop using it?
You know what? That's one of those things that just kind of faded out, man. So.
Yeah, but we got to bring it back, right?
It is kind of a childish word, but it's so funny. Like, you can't say Lop without smiling. So
yeah, for sure.
Let's bring it back. Let's all have a good time.
And by the way, and Bean, you work with the biggest Lop of all. You work with Kevin.
Exactly.
It's like you look up Lop in the dictionary, there's a picture of Kevin.
It is big head. Just like Lop.
It does fit Kevin.
You see?
I have to admit.
You see that? And by the way, beer mug also. Come on.
He's a Lop.
There can be Jewish Lops.
Yeah, totally.
Everybody could be a Lop.
Dan, follow-up question. Are you going to join the movement? Are you committed to starting to reuse Lop again?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Great work.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
You got Dan. All right, speaking of looking it up in the dictionary, producer Alex brought up the Urban Dictionary to see what they had to say about Lop. And apparently it's at least widely known enough to make it into the Urban Dictionary.
There you go.
That's impressive.
Lop is a person who is A, stupid, or B, stupid looking, as in that guy is such a Lop. Lop is also, as an adjective, you could use it to mean poorly executed, sloppy, frequently used with job, as in that's a Lop job.
Hey, that's Kevin right there.
That's a Lop job.
Yeah. You see?
Also used as a noun, a person who does a job carelessly. You would call that person a Lop.
Kevin.
Also as a noun, a stupid or lazy person. See asshat.
Hey, it's right next to asshat. Awesome.
Number four, also a noun, a person whose time or energy are misdirected, as in, look what a Lop job that web developer did on those GIFs. Or the new intern's report was so full of errors, I had him write it over again. That Lop. Or that stupid Lop at McDonald's didn't put fries in my bag.
That's the best.
Lop is everywhere. How did I miss it?
All right.
But Bean, you're on the bandwagon now, right?
Is it too late for me to join?
No, it's never too late for Lop. Come
Lop
along. Forever.
Tom is on line one. Tom, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you have something valuable to say, or are you just a Lop?
Pretty much just a Lop.
where do you stand on this? Is this a word that you used at one point?
Absolutely. It's so funny that Omar said that, because back in high school, we would say that about lazy people, or, you know, just a dog on a buddy or something like that. But
exactly.
Once you said Lop, I had to call in.
Isn't that crazy? I wonder how widespread it was, or if it was just a local thing, or if it's everywhere. I'm curious.
Yeah, I was asking a couple of people around yesterday, and a couple of people definitely didn't hear about it.
Right.
But.
Thank you, Tom. Let's do one more. Let's try Aaron. He's got something to say about Lop as well. Aaron, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on? Aaron, line four.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hi.
Good.
I was born and raised in Santa Ana. The terminology LOP, we use that for local gang members. There was a gang called the Lopers, and they called them a lot of LOPs.
I wonder if it started there or something.
Mm. No, I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, it could start anywhere, but that's pretty much the short term they call them.
Gotcha. Now, is it something you've heard other people use?
Tell you the truth, not.
No. Are you willing to start using it with your friends? Are you going to be willing to help the guys try to bring it back?
Well,
come on,
probably
man.
Would not.
Don't be a lop.
Yeah,
man.
You're a lop.
You're
not a lop.
Thanks for the call. Ralph, you weren't in here for the lop talk, but...
Oh, I heard it.
Getting a lot of love. Getting a lot of love for LOP. And a lot of suggestions. A lot of people emailing in, calling in, texting, and suggesting where LOP came from. For instance, here's one who says a lot of Army guys and athletic guys use it. LOP stands for L-O-P, lazy, overweight piece of...
All of
my friends use it. A bunch of Army guys and professional athletes use it as well. Somebody else suggests that it comes from loppy-eared rabbits because they look lazy, pathetic, worthless, and dumb. Hence the word lop. And Lisa, you heard another suggestion somebody was calling on the phone.
Yeah, Sam emailed and said in Cambodian it means lazy, stupid moron. So maybe if you went to school in an area where there were Cambodians going to school, it came from that area.
Maybe if you played Russian roulette with Cambodians when you were a kid.
Could have happened.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
You go, lop, you go!
So anyway, apparently there's a lot of love out there for the lop, which is a big surprise to me because I thought Omar was just living in his own little tiny world. But apparently he's not alone. All right, time for another look at the showbiz beat now. What's going on, Ralph?
If you missed the Foo Fighters documentary, Back and Forth, good news is it's going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray on June the 14th. Both editions have 35 extra minutes of footage that wasn't in the theatrical release. So you're actually smarter by not having seen it in the theaters and seeing it at home because you'll get more.
See, now I look
more
like a fool.
More for you. Yes, you do. Lop. Speaking of concert films, Glee's summer tour has been filmed and will be in 3D on the big screen in August. 14 cast members from the hit TV show are hitting the road, starting May 21st in Las Vegas and then wrapping up on June the 18th in Uniondale, New York. And then it's on to Manchester, England, London, and Dublin.
Wow.
The movie's going to run for 2 weeks only, starting August 12th, so make sure to get your tickets now for Glee in 3D.
Don't care about Glee, but if you tell me that Britney and Santana make out in the movie in 3D, I might go.
It's a different film. More 3D movie news. Piranha 3DD, the sequel to the popular Piranha 3D, is continuing to announce their cast list. Two of the original stars will be returning for Piranha 3DD, Christopher Lloyd, who played the doctor, of course, who discovered that the mutated piranha were coming up from that secret hole in the ground they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be returning. And Ving Rhames, who you may remember just chopping him up with an outboard motor in the surf there at one point during the film.
That was a fun movie,
back
that
as well.
Piranha.
Yeah, I loved it.
Wasn't it?
I
really fun.
It was a great summer exploitation, funny, gross, disgusting, full of boob movie. I dug it. Looking forward to the sequel as well. Sequels! Pirates of the Caribbean. Won't be in theaters for another couple of weeks. However, there's a fifth film already in the works. Hollywood Reporter says a script was delivered to Disney earlier this week. And Johnny Depp says he's on board, although he would like to hold off for a little bit. He said they should be special. Just like they are special to me, so apparently they won't be going right into production. But I guess we can see a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean film sometime soon.
Are you guys still invested in the franchise? Is this a movie you're looking forward to?
I know a lot of people who had problems with the third, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm looking forward to the fourth.
I had problems with the third, and I'm not looking forward to the fourth.
No, I think Johnny Depp's performances are very entertaining and well worth it. And the production values on this, it's just really one of the best-made franchises and movies I've seen in a long, long time.
And the third, if I didn't see that one, but that one was 3 hours long, too, and that dragged a lot of people down, right?
3 hours long?
I don't remember.
Yeah, or 240 or something
it
like that.
It was long,
apparently.
Yeah.
It was way too long.
Not that I recall.
It's, I mean, it's got to be one of the biggest movie franchises in history, though. I mean, it's just huge.
Yeah.
As was the Godfather movies, and there may be a prequel in the works. There's certainly a new book coming out called The Family Corleone, which is intended as a prequel, at least in book form, to Mario Puzo's original 1969 novel, The Godfather, which spawned the classic films. Daily Variety says it's written by a guy named Ed Falco. Well, it sounds like he's the right ethnicity to write this book, at least. And he's got the approval of the estate of Mario Puzo. So the book will focus on Vito's rise to power in the throes of the Depression in the early 30s. So it's sort of a companion piece to what we saw in Godfather 2 with Robert De Niro playing a young Vito Corleone. I wouldn't mind another Godfather movie with the right cast. If Coppola was interested in doing it again.
Yeah.
Exploring more of that world.
Making a prequel, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, maybe.
Well, I'll write you, mark you down as a maybe. It means a maybe. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. The lovely and talented Danielle Fishel celebrates her birthday today. I fell in love with her as Topanga on Boy Meets World. You probably did too, but she's also very, very funny. And people say that there aren't a lot of funny women in the business. The truth is there aren't a lot of funny men in the business either, really. And I think probably less women get into comedy than guys
right.
do. But she's very funny on that show called The Dish over on Style, which is kind of like a soup-type show. Check it out if you get a chance. She's 30 years old today. Clark Duke from Kick-Ass, Hot Tub Time Machine, 26 years old today. Singer Adele celebrates her 23rd birthday. Chris Brown is 22. Singer Craig David is 30. Tina Yathers from Family Ties. She was Jennifer on that show. She's 38. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen turns 52. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath is 63. And Lance Henriksen from Millennium and Aliens, he is 71 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Less than 5 hours from right now, you'll be able to buy your tickets for this year's K-Rock Weenie Roast. We're calling it K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011, believe it or not. You can get all the details and make sure you're a street team member when the tickets go on sale at noon today. Go to krock.com. Don't you know? It's 7:08. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program. He used to be known as the hardest working man in show business, except his former Loveline partner, Adam Carolla, I think with the podcasts and the books and the live shows and everything else that he's doing, he may actually have taken over the title. Ace Man, how are you?
Oh, fantabulous.
Hey, before we get into this week in Rage, you have to tell us what's going on with the Guinness Book of World Records. I'm not sure I fully understand. There is a record for the most downloaded podcast. That's what you're going for?
Basically the most popular podcast in the world, and guess who owns it?
Well, I mean, I know you've been number one on iTunes virtually since the first week your podcast debuted, but the Guinness thing is something different.
Yeah, this makes it official. This gets it into the record books, and the guy who owns the current record is a foreign guy by the name of Ricky Gervais, who comes over here and thinks it's okay to make fun of our celebrities.
Oh.
Meanwhile, it was his country that was harboring Bin Laden all these years.
Wait, he's from England. He's not from Pakistan. You know that, right?
Let's not get mired in geographical technicalities here.
All you know is he's not an American. That's all you know.
He's not American, and he has the record. And I'm saying we're here to take it back, people.
All right, so all people need to do is go into their iTunes and just click subscribe, right?
That's it, and we shall reclaim the record for America.
Just like that record for most cars sold that we keep having to fight back with Ohio about.
Oh, those guys at Reichert Ford, don't get me started.
I know that's a pet peeve of yours. All right, you get all the details on the podcast record and everything else going on in the wonderful world of Adam Carolla, including the Saturday, May 21st gig at the Wiltern with Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Simmons. Tickets available now, and Saturday, June 4th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. Time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Our way down to number one. Quickly, a side note, speaking of Dr. Drew, who's coming on the show, somebody called me a few days ago and said, could you get to the podcast a couple minutes early? They want to interview you. And I said, who wants to interview me? Somebody from the Wall Street Journal wants to interview you. And they said, isn't that exciting? And I said, it would be exciting, except for they want to talk about Drew. I guarantee this is another story about Drew. Do you know how many times a week somebody says to me, oh, somebody wants to interview you? And then I get on the phone with them and they go, tell me about Drew. And one
That's
of them
awesome.
literally said, he's got 9 shows. You have no shows. How does it make you feel? That was literally a question one
That's
of the bitches
unbelievable.
Asked me. Yes. All right.
Do you think Dr. Drew has ever had anyone contact him for an interview so they could talk to him about Adam Carolla?
No. Even when I try to talk to him about Adam Carolla, he doesn't want to talk about it.
That's awesome.
All right. Number 3. Gel toothpaste. I don't like this crap. I feel like it's being forced on us. And did you ever brush your teeth with regular toothpaste and go, not enough. I don't like the consistency of this. It will not do. I need something that light passes through. I don't like gel toothpaste. It's weird looking to me. And the other thing I've realized is that toothbrushes have changed over the years. The shape of the head, the business end of the toothbrush, mm-hmm. it's now round or it's now segmented. There's one round part and then there's one straight part and it's going different directions. Toothpaste does not stay on the end of a toothbrush anymore. You put it on there, you start to lift it to your mouth and the whole wad drops in the sink. And let me just ask you this. This happened to me a million times. It will not stick to the end of the toothbrush. I carefully put it on the end of the toothbrush. I go to roll it up to my teeth, and it falls into the sink. It has no adhesion qualities whatsoever when it comes to the toothbrush. Once it hits the sink, it's spot welded onto the sink. I can't get it back onto the toothbrush. I smear it. I throw a towel in there. I try to hose it down. 2 months later, I can still see the outline of it on the sink. Why does it stick to the sink and not the toothbrush? Somebody's got to make the toothbrush out of the same material they make the sink. Think out of that kind of.
Yeah. Adam, you have more problems in everyday life than anyone I've ever known.
Oh, I'm just getting started, Bean. Blue Frontier Airlines last week from Milwaukee to Kansas City. And, you know, they're Frontier, and they got everyone's going for a theme. By the way, your airline theme should be we're cheap and we rarely crash. That should be the only theme you go for. I mean, you should have an airline called We Rarely Crash. But Frontiers has animals, and they have different themed animals on their planes. This plane has an owl on the side of it. This one has a deer on the tail fin of the thing. You know what plane I got? I got the Badger.
Hmm.
Badger, first off, badgers dig holes in the ground. And no one's ever looked up in the sky and went, wow, look at that badger. It's kicking the crap out of that eagle. There's never been a badger higher than 4 feet off the ground. I'm just saying, you got to really sit around and think this stuff out when you're picking an animal to put on the tail stab of your 737. Badger, the surliest animal on the planet that digs holes and sleeps in a burrow. It just burrows down and sleeps in a den.
It's not exactly known for flying high. It's not the bald eagle, that's for sure.
I don't think a badger's ever been higher than 4 feet above the ground.
It does seem like an odd choice for a mascot. I think you're right.
Yeah, and it does not. I am not brimming with confidence when Barney the Badger. And by the way, the alliteration people. That just means you're plumb out ideas. That is Dora the Explorer creativity right there. Barney the Badger on the side of the plane of Frontier Airlines, and last but not least, porn star Ron Jeremy.
What's your problem with the hedgehog?
I'm a fan. Don't get me wrong. But Ron Jeremy has managed to get fat on camera, naked, having sex. And that just shows anyone in America can get fat. Because you know that thing where, you know, if you work doing data entry or God knows, Bean, you've been around enough DJs, you start packing on a few pounds. So
sure.
What of it? You put on some sweatpants and a hockey sweater. No one knows the difference. See, we all know that thing where you have jobs where you can put on weight. But if you're an American Gladiator, you can't really pack on the pounds because it's going to be noticeable. This guy gets naked and then is filmed having sex with people for a living and has managed to pack on 60 pounds over the last 30 years in the business. That's insane because he makes 2 porn movies a day, every day, for like the last 35 years. I'm just saying. It's one thing to sidle up to the microphone every morning and pack on a couple pounds. It's another thing to sidle up behind a runaway naked. Do you think you could pack on that? I mean, you have to have a huge honker because you have to be confident in your ability. But Ron Jeremy can watch himself, and I said it before, someone should make a montage from 1979 to today of him getting fat. Like one of those, it'd be like one of those things where they put the camera on the bulb and it blooms into a beautiful rose bush in super fast motion. We could actually watch Ron Jeremy getting fat in 45 seconds if we did it right.
You're right, and this is another way that porn movies are so different from mainstream movies because no leading man could ever show up gaining as much weight as he does and continue to get the roles that he does. You know what I mean? He must own the company or something because there's nobody to say, Ron, I'm sorry, you're too fat to make this movie. Go home and come back in 3 months.
It's awesome, and it's also why it's great to be a man because there's no such thing as a chick. You know, it's not like, well, Nina Hartley's packed on 60 pounds, but she's still working.
Nope.
No. She has to hit the gym for 2 hours every day. You want to be a porn star and a chick? You want to stay in the business for more than 10 years? I mean, it must be great for Ron, because Ron, it's like, don't worry, there'll be a new batch of 19-year-old runaways every day. Ah, yep. Go ahead, have another cannoli.
Yep.
You're never going anywhere.
It's a giant F you to the rest of us whose lives aren't anywhere near as cool as Rod Jeremy's. That's an excellent point, Adam. Don't miss Adam Carolla on stage at the Wiltern with special guest, his good friend Jimmy Kimmel, and his other good friend Bill Simmons. Tickets available through Live Nation Saturday, June 4th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. And find out about the world record attempt through Guinness for the most downloaded podcast and all the information at adamcarolla.com. Have a great week, Ace Man. Thanks for coming on.
Good chat.
They're not at the Weenie Roast this year, sadly, but a lot of other bands are. You can get your tickets at noon today if you're a K-Rock Street Team member. Tickets go on sale at noon for the show June 4th. Go to krock.com for all the details at 7:25. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Chip, the phone screener. What's up, Chip?
Hello.
Chip has been with the show for a couple of years now, and we love her very much. But she's a midget. She's literally, how tall are you, Chip?
I am 5'2". I am 2 inches taller than a midget.
You're 5'2".
All right, so you're not officially a little person.
Yeah, I'm close.
You're a very short 5'2", by the way.
Yeah, she is. I think she's lying.
Yeah. Is it so you can ride the rides at Disneyland? You're too short if you tell them what your real height is? You must be this tall?
Yeah, I stick some some blocks in my shoes so I can.
Right. Now, the reason we brought Chip in, besides the fact that she deserves some sort of medal for taking the calls from Kevin and Bean listeners every day, all day, which is not, it cannot be an easy job. But the reason we brought her in is she did something that kind of surprised us last week that we haven't had a chance to talk about. Now, Chip, you're as many of us who work here on the show, you're a huge music fan, right?
Yeah. That's been my whole focus. I've been listening for music for a long time, since I was like 8 years old, just totally immersed in it. I got a degree in music. I play bass.
You play in a band, a couple of bands. That's part of the reason you came to work at the radio station was to get close to music. So we understand your passion for music. But this week you went out and expressed it in a way that a fair amount of people do, but not everybody does. And that is you got tattoos from two of your favorite bands put on your body at the same time. Now, I've not thought of you as a tattooed person. Do you have other ink too?
No, those are the first ones. And because of my previous employer, and they have a phone book sized dress code, you can't have tattoos.
You haven't been able to get a tattoo for the last few years, right?
Unless it's more easily hidden. And for me, it's like, well, if you're going to get a tattoo and go through that pain, I want to be able to look at it.
Right. Okay.
I want to have it on my back and not be able to see it.
All right. Tell the kids what the two choices you made were for tattoos. And I believe you did put up photos at kevinandbean.com so people can see the ones that we're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. I wrote a post. On my left arm, I have the Foo Fighters logo.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my right arm, I have an Offspring picture from their last album.
And these are tiny little tattoos that I'd need a magnifying glass to see?
Well, no. They're not small. But, I mean, the biggest, the Offspring one's really only a little bit small, bigger than half of my forearm. It's not gigantic, but it's definitely not tiny.
It's half of her forearm.
Isn't that?
That is gigantic.
Come on. I mean, I'm tiny, so any tattoo on me is going to look big. And also
but
the fact
still, it's half your forearm.
Who goes out in their first? I mean, most people they wade into the tattoo waters.
Where's your starter tattoo?
Yeah, your starter tattoo is usually I'm going to get a little butterfly on my ankle or something that's not going to be
lame.
The first thing people see. But you went out and you got two ginormous tattoos right on your arms that everybody will see. I mean,
super
the first
colorful Bean.
Yeah, totally, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right. They're not just,
I
mean, they're,
come on.
They're full color. And now, I mean, it's the type, it leads you into a room now. It's your calling card. It's the first thing people will see now. They go, oh, is Mike Ness here? Oh, no, wait, that's just Chip. I mean, it's rare for somebody to dive that deep into ink for the first time out.
Yeah, I know. I'm weird.
I'll say. All right. Explain to me the love you feel for both The Offspring and Foo Fighters. Why did you choose them? And were there any other bands that were in consideration?
No. And these weren't like spur of the moment, hey, I like these bands, get tattoos. Like, I've been thinking about these for a long time, a couple of years. Like, mm-hmm. I want to make sure if I'm going to get these tattoos, I want to like them. I want to be sure that this is what I know. Because I know they're permanent and I know I'm going to be stuck with them.
And these are all-time bands for you. In other words, you're going to be listening to Offspring and Foo Fighters records in 10 years, in 20 years, in 50 years, and it's unlikely that they're the kinds of bands that are going to let you down by doing an all-Macarena cover album in the future, right?
Yeah, and it's more so not for what they do now in the future. It's the influence they had me in the past. I grew up, my sister would drive me to school when I was 8 years old, and she would be blasting Smash in the car, the Offspring album, and that's where my love of that music came from, and the Foo Fighters were a big influence on me playing live. Like, seeing them kick ass and playing live really well got me to be playing in a band and stuff like that.
Now, I get that, and I'd be willing to bet if we had a tattoo artist on the phone, they would tell us that a ton of people come in for their musical inspiration because that's something that's so personal for people. They're so passionate about it. I mean, I'm sure it's a very common tattoo. Our boy Psycho Mike's going to be here next hour. He's got a ton of tattoos from bands, you know, that he, everybody, you know, from Black Flag to Ozzy. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's not uncommon. But I bet that there are also people listening who have thought, this is my band. I'm never going to not love NSYNC, for instance. And then now they look at that tattoo and they go, what was I thinking? How do I have an NSYNC tattoo in 2011?
That Limp Bizkit tattoo doesn't look too good now, I'm sure.
And I bet there were a lot of Limp Bizkit tattoos back in the late 90s, don't you? I mean, isn't that the kind of band that people were super into for a while?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I bet there were. So we want to hear from people who have music-based tattoos. You went out and got a tattoo of your favorite artist. And do we just want calls from people who now regret them or people who have funny stories to tell about them? I guess so. I think we're looking for ones that maybe haven't aged as well as you hoped they would. You got the tattoo at the time. I mean, you're pretty safe with your tattoos. Like I said, I don't think you're ever going to – there's not going to be a day when you wake up and don't like Foo Fighters.
Yeah, unless, you know, if The Offspring comes out the country album, I might second guess. But I think I'm pretty safe on that one.
Well, at least your tattoo is so huge it cannot be manipulated or covered. At least you are stuck with it no matter what they do next. I mean, Dexter could go on a killing spree and you'd have to still advertise him for the rest of your life. There's nothing you can do about it.
He could probably see from his plane when he's flying overhead too.
Yeah, no kidding. So we're looking for your stories of tattoos that were a great idea at the time, bands or artists that you loved at the time, and now maybe a few years down the road, you're not so sure about that choice. 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. It's a toll-free call. And by the way, if you want to email us any of those photos here at the Kevin and Bean Show too, we'll add them to the post because we've got other people's tattoos besides just Chip's on this post. We'll put up a whole gallery of your music-related tattoos. If you got a good or a bad one, you can email them to us. But we'll take your calls on this topic coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dirty Heads fan Christian, you hang on. We'll get to you in 1 second at 106.7 KROQ. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 738. Talking about a musical tattoo. We got a gallery up at kevinandbean.com. Chip made a post about the two tattoos she just got last week. Huge tattoos, half her size, I think. One is Foo Fighters on one arm. The other is Offspring on the other. And we were thinking about maybe some of the people who have gotten band tattoos that seemed like a great idea at the time. You thought you would always love Enrique Iglesias, and maybe you don't today. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can also upload your band tattoo photos to kevinandbean.com, and we'll put those in the gallery, or you can email them to me as well. Speaking of Dirty Heads, let's talk to our man Christian. We were just listening to the band. You have a Dirty Heads tattoo, Christian? Really?
Yeah, on my hand. Big DH.
Now, I really like them. I think they're terrific, and I love the album, but...
I did not call them to bash them. They are my best friends and have been for a long time. I tour managed them for years and was with them.
Oh, well, that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, that's not just you're a fan.
No. They are my best. I'm actually one of Duddy's groomsmen in his wedding in a couple weeks. But
okay, that's cool.
The thing is right after the tattoo is when I stopped working for them, so I walk around with it on my hands.
But you've got lifelong friends, and that is totally different than just a band you're into, and then all of a sudden you don't care about them 5 years later. This one's probably going to be fine for you. I gotcha. It's a place in your life. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that. Dear Kevin and Bean, Joel writes in, hey, kids, don't forget to mention the Simpsons episode where Homer was talking to Lisa about getting a timeless tattoo. He rolls up his sleeve to show a tattoo of the Starland Vocal Band. Which was a one-hit wonder from the 70s that he had. Let's try Brandon, line 5, 1-800-520-1067, talking about your musical tattoos, particularly if you have one that maybe you regret. It doesn't look like such a good idea anymore. Brandon, what's going on?
Orle, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hey.
Hello,
Happy
Brandon.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you as well.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I got a Black Flag tattoo on my ass cheek.
Okay. Nice placement.
But Black Flag is forever. That's not a band that's going to let you down. You won't regret that.
Never let me down. The placement could have been a little better thought out. But after, you know, 740s and a couple blunts, you got caught a judgment.
but is it on your ass? I mean, especially if you're going to get... I mean, some people would say on your ass is the safest place to get a tattoo because it's the place folks are least likely to see, right?
Yeah, but and, it's, you know, not going to look the same when his ass sags.
Yeah, you know, it'll look like...
That's going to be sad.
That's saggy, thanks.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, thanks for the call.
Mom, so
yeah, hide it from mom, exactly. Appreciate the call. Let's try Christy Ann, line 4. Ooh, Christy Ann sounds like a hot name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Any girl named Christy Ann has got to be hot, right, guys?
I would think
seriously.
Kind of hot.
I bet you are. All right, tell me about, is it your tattoo, your husband's tattoo, or who?
It's actually my fiance's tattoo. He has a tattoo on his left bicep, and it's of the Iron Maiden mascot.
It's Eddie. Eddie, the Iron Maiden mascot.
Yeah, I don't even know who it is. That's how horrible it is.
Oh, in other words, it's not a good-looking tattoo on top of it.
It was at one point. It was really colorful and nice, but now it's just kind of like this big mesh of color.
Did you guys find a guy in the back of a van at Venice Beach to do the tattoo? Why does it look so bad?
I think he just got it. He's 31. I think he probably got it when he was 21, so 10 years old, and he's never gotten touched up.
And probably didn't do it well to begin with.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's maybe funny. It was this guy's first tattoo. I don't know. It was,
hey, but he, that. But he apparently it didn't stop him from getting a hot chick like you. So I guess he's doing fine.
Yeah, all right, really good.
Thank you very much for the call. Here's an email from Mike, by the way, who sends in his tattoo in large letters of Oasis on his arm.
Oh,
now how is Oasis aged in everyone's mind? I mean, they were one of the biggest bands in the world for a few years. Is that the type of band that you think he probably still looks at and goes, "Yes"?
I don't know. I mean, I love their music.
I mean, I almost think that my rule of thumb would be, is the tattoo one that I would get today? If so, I'm glad I got it. If not, I probably shouldn't have.
Then no, it's not good.
Let's try Josh, line one, 1-800-520-1067. Talking about musical tattoos maybe you regret. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Kevin DeMeade Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I went and got, wanted to get a Metallica piece for my mother. Her favorite song in the world is Nothing Else Matters. And I went into the parlor, asked for Nothing Else Matters across the top of my chest with some album art cover underneath of it. I ended up with my entire chest piece done, and when I was finished, it said Nothing Else Matters, and they put a Guns N' Roses cover underneath it.
Oh, my God!
How did that happen? Were you asleep while they were doing it?
No, well, lots of Vicodin.
Oh, my God. And that was just because of the pain of the tattoo.
Yes.
How did they get that confused? How did they end up with a Guns N' Roses logo?
I am not sure to this day. And went in to go get a surgical consult, but because it takes up a good 3/4 of my chest, it was more expensive to remove it and replace it than it was to just keep it. So
and
now
painful, too.
God, a 3/4 of your...
And Guns N' Roses album.
That is unbelievable. Now, is that a tattoo that you have to explain all the time?
Yeah, every single time they always ask me, and I always have to just tell them, you know, I drew it myself. I come up with something because I hate admitting the fact that I wasn't paying attention while I was getting tattooed.
Oh, man. Well, now I'm really bummed out, Josh. I'm so sorry that you had to do that, dude. That sucks. All right. Thank you for the call. Just wear a shirt forever, would you?
That's what he'll do.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right here on the Kevin and Beat. By the way, Ralph Garman, you and producer Alex are going to be fighting for the phone tomorrow when Thor calls in. Chris Hemsworth
Thor!
On the program tomorrow.
Yes, but I love him on the inside. Alex just loves him on the outside.
Well, she's going to do whatever she has to do to get between you and him. I'll tell you that.
She wants to see his hammer. That's all.
Chris Hemsworth talking Thor on the program tomorrow. Also, the most hated man in Los Angeles this week, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, who are up 2-0. They won both games at home. In the Lakers' house, they won both games. What up?
Yeah.
So Mark Cuban will be on talking about that and talking about his show Shark Tank, which is an awesome show, by the way. So all that tomorrow morning, plus the movie beat right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I want to talk to a very special, high-powered celebrity guest who we've been talking about all morning long because it's her birthday, and we've been wishing her a happy birthday. Apparently, the lovely and talented Danielle Fishel's on the phone.
No way! No way! Danielle!
Hello!
Good morning!
Happy birthday!
Thank you guys so much. You guys are so sweet. Ralph always mentions my birthday, and I have friends and family that send me texts and say, they're going to mention you tomorrow. You should call in.
Now, Danielle, I may have misspoke this morning because I was talking about how much I've enjoyed your work on The Dish, and I've been informed that that show has been canceled.
Yeah, you probably haven't been enjoying it for about the last month.
But they're still showing reruns.
No, they shouldn't be still showing reruns either. I think the last rerun aired like a week after the show was canceled, which was about a month ago.
Oh, well, I must not have caught it then for about a month.
I hope this isn't an uncomfortable question, but that show was so good. What happened?
Well, I'm not really sure what happened. I think, you know, I don't know if the dish really fit in with the rest of the Style Network lineup.
They need to make more room for Ruby's fat ass?
Yeah, there just needed to be some more room for makeover shows and cleaning houses and people losing weight, I guess. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess the humor show didn't really fit in there. But, you know, I miss it because I loved that show so much.
Oh,
well,
I know you did.
You were so good on it. You were hilarious on that show. You really were.
Thank you.
And I hope you'll be doing something like that again soon, because it's so rare to see funny women on television, and I hope we'll see you in something else like that soon.
Thank you. I hope so, too, because I agree with you. I think it set a good precedent. So,
hey, before you go, Danielle, and it's awesome of you to call in, and we really do sincerely wish you a happy birthday. What's it like having a birthday on Cinco de Mayo? Is it a party every year?
Not really. You know, it's funny. I've said for a while now, I don't know why I've never had, like, a Cinco de Mayo-themed birthday. I've never, like, had a big party or eaten Mexican food or done any of that. I'm usually pretty low-key, so I don't know. This year, I woke up super early, and I went for a really great workout because I don't want to look like a lop.
Yeah! It's catching on. Now the celebrities are saying it.
Exactly. And, you know,
that's,
I don't know how
awesome.
I know. I heard the conversation where you guys were talking about Hella, and I don't know if you mentioned it or not at the beginning, but did you guys hear JJ Barea last night at the end of the Dallas Mavericks game say his big guys were giving him Hella screens?
Yes, I did. Yeah. You're absolutely right. He did say that.
Oh, my gosh. I was slapping so hard. I'm like, Hella screens? Did you just say that?
Yeah. What year is he playing? Again. And you how sad that somebody like you who would notice that doesn't have a TV show where you can point that out and make fun of it.
Exactly. I can't even say anything about it. I have to call you and point it out to you. It's
well,
so funny.
We need a sports reporter, so maybe you can come to our show.
I'd love it.
Oh, Danielle, you're the best.
Don't tease us, because we'll hire you in a heartbeat.
Thank you guys so much.
Happy birthday to you, my dear.
Happy birthday, D-Fish.
Thanks. Have a great day.
See you later. Yeah. Bye-bye. See, they got Lakers got a D-Fish. Now we got a D-Fish.
That's
We're all set.
She's adorable.
Boy, she is awesome.
I dig her. Speaking of chicks you can dig, it's sort of anticlimactic, but announced this morning, Simon Cowell confirmed that the lovely, talented British pop singer Cheryl Cole will be a judge on his imported singing competition show, The X Factor. Cole was a judge on the British version. In fact, he helped propel her to stardom, so I guess they're very close. But she was going to be the one judge on the American version, and she is beautiful and talented and British, which is a killer combo.
I've never seen her speak, yet I could not be more delighted that she is joining the American X Factor, because I've seen her look.
She's a massive star in England, too, by
huge,
the way.
Yeah.
She was a member of a girls' pop group called Girls Aloud, and then she moved on to a solo career, and she married a high-profile soccer player there in the UK, stuff. So she's coming to America to conquer our shores, and looking forward to it. And Glee has announced a 3D concert movie that's going to be in theaters in August. Can you wait?
No! No!
Neither can I, Christian Bale. I can't wait either. It's going to be all 14 cast members from the hit show performing on the road, shot in 3D, and that'll be in theaters in August for a couple weeks. So August 12th is the date. Circle your calendars for Glee in 3D.
I can't wait. Bob sending us a note from the Kevin Bean Show asking if it's actually, in fact, going to be in Glee D, Ralph.
Oh, put him in the file. Put him in the file. Put listener Bob right in
really?
The mother effing file.
I think that makes sense.
I bet you do. That is so your cup of tea right there, you lop. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Henriksen from Millennium and Aliens. He is 71 years old today. Drummer Bill Ward of Black Sabbath celebrates his 63rd birthday. Ian McCulloch of Echo and the Bunnymen is 52. Tina Yathers from Family Ties turns 38. Craig David. See, that's the problem when you have two first names. You confuse people. Singer Craig David is 30 years old. Clark Duke from Kick-Ass and Tot Tub Time Machine, 26 years old. Adele celebrates her 23rd birthday. Chris Brown is 22. And as we mentioned earlier when we had her on as a special Showbiz Beat guest, the lovely and talented Danielle Fishel is 30 years old today.
Punk ass bitch.
What? How dare you, sir? Seriously. Danielle Fishel, sports on K-Rock? On the
I
Kevin
love
Bean
it.
Show?
Are you kidding me?
Is that
Are
strong
you kidding me?
Or what?
She can start today. If she can be here in an hour, we'll put her on.
Let's do it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Psycho Mike.
Yes?
Ladies and gentlemen, Psycho Mike joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
All right.
Did we
formerly
get
from Dancing with the Stars, host of the nationally syndicated Loveline show. Your boyfriend, Dr. Drew, is going to be on next hour, by the way. We'll be talking to Drew.
He's going to be on this show?
He is.
Yeah, what's going on here? This is crazy. Thank you for having me on. Roger, I'm sorry to hear about Barkley.
It's weird to have Mike in as a guest, to tell you the truth. It's a little bit strange. But the reason
imagine how weird it is to be a guest.
Yeah, it must be strange for you.
Yes.
Have you met Beer Mug, the guy who's doing your job better?
Shabbat shalom, my
friend. Shabbat shalom.
How are you?
Mike, the reason we wanted you to come in today is because, let's face it, it's impossible to not notice that the weather has turned and we're starting to get into the spring and summertime where people start to wear a little less clothing and all those pounds you gained over the winter are now starting to show. Now they're on the outside.
Yeah, it's funny. Now that I live at the beach and the weather's turning, it's like it's beach weather, you realize like everyone who migrates to the beach when the weather gets good are not the people who should be taking their clothes off. You know what I'm saying? Like every guy who should walk around town with a shirt off lives there already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you see the people dragging in the beach chairs in the cooler, you're like, oh, please don't take your clothes off. Like,
so you're rich and elitist now to the people who can't afford to live at the beach because trying to get a couple of hours of sun. All of a sudden, they're not good enough for you. Or?
Even like ghetto, like I live in Ghetto Beach. It's not like I live in Manhattan Beach or something like that or Malibu. But like the bums living under the pier, like Fletch's friends, you know, the guy like Fletch's informant. Those guys are all like ripped and stuff. And then you like as soon as the weather turns, you see the people coming in. Like I said, with like their 12-pack of Natty Ice, and you're like, oh, dude, don't show me your man boobs.
do people? And we are going to take your calls on this cycle. Body as you to prepare to get ready for bikini and bathing suit weather season. Do they slack off? Of course, the holidays are right in the middle of the the winter. But do they slack off, figuring it doesn't matter because I'm not really showing anything during the winter? And then everybody is furiously back in the gym trying to get in shape for this time of year.
Oh yeah, I think that's very common. You know, just a lot of times because you're more sedentary in general when it's cold weather. But I think that's more of a process that goes on in colder climates. I mean, if you live in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Not only are you less concerned about your appearance because you're not going to go outside as much, you're literally debilitated by the weather, you know, up until about April. So I would imagine it's a bigger deal in other parts of the country. But I think everybody gets a little bit more concerned with their appearance when they know they're going to be wearing less clothing, you know.
Do people, I mean, you're at the gym all the time and you've done a fair amount of training in your life. Do people at this point wake up and go, man, I'm 15 pounds overweight. I need to lose it like right now so that I can get out there and do all the stuff I want to do?
Yeah, I think that's a bigger problem than people realize, you know, because losing more than a couple pounds in a short period of time is not a good idea. And a lot of people get to the point where it's like, I'm 25 days away from this wedding I've been planning for, and now it's time for me to lose those 25 pounds.
I have a friend who just started one of those what is that called?
The HCG.
Yeah, 500 calories a day.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Crazy.
Why is it not a good idea? I mean, won't that work?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about and it's understandable, but there's a big difference between weight loss and good weight loss. And there's a big difference between health and weight loss.
They're not allowed to work out.
Because
there's not enough fuel.
I mean,
I want to hear about this diet. This sounds like perfect for me.
The HCG diet is kind of like losing weight on Survivor Island.
Yes.
Like, anybody's going to lose weight if you eat a half a rat carcass every 2 days and a bowl of rice as a reward, you know, at the end of the week. But that's really not kind of what you're going for. And I mean, I think people have a goal and a vision of what they want to do when they lose weight, and that's not what you're getting by going on crash diets or these kind of like fad diets. You're getting a lot of water weight, and you're getting, you're essentially starving your body, and it's going to come away from muscle mass and connective tissues and stuff like that, which is not necessarily things you want to lose weight from. And you're not really going to look all that much better.
Right.
And then for dudes, you get skinny ripped or skinny fat, which is a terrible syndrome where you don't really have any muscular definition at all, but yet you're also a skinny pile. And then women turn into like that kind of like saggy, like it's almost skeletons with cellulite, I call them. Like I remember seeing Paris Hilton, who's a size zero, granted, but she has cellulite somehow, you know. And you see a lot of people who run marathons like that same body. And that's not really.
They just
what
have
you're
no definition
for.
At all.
Yeah, that's not really like. I think when people's goal, if you're going to go through all the hard work of dieting and exercising to look better, you want to look better. You want to take off your clothes and be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, as we've talked about, and we're going to take your calls if you have questions for shaping up for the summer season with our friend Psycho Mike in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 1-800-520-1067. One of the topics that has come up time and time again as we've done this feature, Michael, is that people want a short-term diet that they can start, do it for pick a time, 2 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, and then quit.
Yeah.
And that's not really how it works in real life with your body, right? Isn't it's really a lifestyle change more than it is a diet that you would recommend?
There's about four or five guys out there that I really respect when it comes to anything that has to do with physical performance or nutrition. And to a T, all of them agree, when you're making your goals, whether it be for physical performance or for physique transformation, you're talking 2 year intervals. You hear me, people? 24 months.
I'm sorry,
months.
Say it again?
24 months.
Wow.
That's a realistic way of gauging your progress. Okay? So that's one thing that's just one rumor you got to dispel. Sure, that doesn't mean you can't look better in 4 weeks. Of course, you can make progress. But the idea of looking like the person you want to look like or getting the goals that you're looking for, when 18-year-old boys call me up and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm starting to look better. I've been working out about 6 months. You know, I see changes in my pecs and my arms. But I don't have a six-pack yet. Now, what can I do to just break over that hump? I'll be like, pack away another 2 years of doing exactly what you're doing. You know, and that's the bottom line, is that you got to erase this idea that anything when it comes to like really having a positive outlook on your physical appearance, it takes a tremendous amount of time, a tremendous amount of patience, and perseverance. And there's just no way you can make these overnight, like, super before and after picture claims you see on these fat burner pills in a short period of time. It just doesn't happen like that.
Speaking of the beach season, when you ended up on TMZ.com walking down the boardwalk with your shirt off,
yeah,
what was the fallout from that?
I mean, there wasn't any like negative fallout from other people. There was a lot of negative fallout for me in my brain. I mean, I was really like not too cool with that, you know.
Really?
Like,
I know how you have been fiercely protective of taking off your shirt. I mean, that's something you almost never do, and you've even said on Dancing with the Stars, "No, I'll never do that." And it's the weirdest thing in the world. We've never been able to figure that out because Mike's in the best shape of anyone we've ever met, yet
right.
He won't let anyone see it. Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
But didn't that? I mean, when you realize that picture was out there. It may have been surprising to you at the time, but everybody was fine, and it did nothing but make you more popular. Why?
Yeah, no, I mean, there was like initially, like I was really, I was really upset about it because I, like you said, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of it. And it's like I figured if I could go in the ocean with my dogs, I'd be safe walking the 40 yards back to my house before someone right. would snap a picture of
and
me.
And you don't want to be a lop.
Yeah, I don't want to be a lop. I mean,
nice, Lisa.
Lisa, who wants to be a lop?
But it didn't break on through to the other side at all for you. You didn't go, hey, it's not that bad. People like it. Maybe I'll do it more often.
First off, great reference, Grandpa. And secondly, there was some positive about it. Dax from TMZ called me, and he's like, look, there's not one negative comment.
Right.
Everybody thinks you look great. And I said, you know, that made me feel better. And he said, I know this business, and one thing I know is that George Clooney walking along the beach with his shirt on doesn't make it to TMZ. George Clooney walking along the beach shirt off, cover of TMZ. So, like, you're not George Clooney. You got to do what you got to do to at least get on the website. And I was like, all right, you good point, you know?
I mean, you're a young, quasi-gay, up-and-coming television star.
Yes.
It's time for you to start shaking your moneymaker, man. You got to use what you got.
Yes.
What I'm saying.
Well, I mean, if you ask me if there's been any fallout, any kind of difference from that moment, I am now dancing at Rage in West Hollywood in a cage, dressed as a Spartan.
All right. Psycho Mike is here. It's the Psycho Body on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you've got questions, we've got answers. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Psycho Mike. You douchebag.
Oh.
Shut the hell up.
Oh, come on. He just...
You f***ing creep.
He just...
Mother
He just...
I hate your sh...
He just got here.
What? Not up for it today, you asshole.
Oh, man. That just seems uncalled for. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 824. Our friend Psycho Mike is here. Ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-520-1067. Your health and fitness questions. It's time for the Psycho Body.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Sorry. We're taking your questions now if you want to get in shape for the warm weather. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with we got a lot of good questions here. Let's start with Patrick. Patrick on line 8, a question we often get, but people never seem to hear the answer for. So let's try it one more time. Patrick, you're on with Psycho Body. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa Mae?
Hello.
Hey, I diet frequently. I do a couple things just to get in shape for the summer. And one of the things I've done in the last year is the Master Cleanse. I want to know what Mike thinks about the Master Cleanse.
Is the Master Cleanse the cayenne pepper deal?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think that's probably a good idea. I just don't think it's a good idea, dude. I mean, because you go for a pretty long period of time having a very, very, very low amount of nutrients in your body, you know? And yeah. I just don't think the human... Now, granted, I am not a doctor. You're not asking me about, like, supersets right now. You're asking me about something, you know, that has to deal with the human system. So I would check with a doctor. But in my opinion, I just don't think that that's something that's very healthy.
This kind of goes back into the column of what we were talking about, which is short-term solutions versus long-time lifestyles, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, no, it's very true. It's like if you had a kid that was getting Fs in every class, getting him a cram session tutor for one of those subjects isn't going to help much. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you got to really kind of reprogram he or she from the inside out. And that's kind of the same way you got to look at getting in shape and being healthy. I mean, the Master Cleanse, eating that little and getting your nutrients from such a unique and small margin of places is not a good idea.
Patrick, thank you very much for the call. Let's try Jason, a similar question on line 6. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Psycho Buddy. You're on with Psycho Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, fellas. Lisa.
Hi.
Hey, I've been reading in a lot of muscle magazines that the keto diet, I believe that's how it says, but it's a high-protein diet. Do you recommend that?
Well, whenever you're lifting weights and using any type of resistance training, you're going to want to increase your protein, and that's not a, you know, just an old wives' tale. That is for anybody who's trying to get in shape and diet, even if you're not that big a weightlifter. You know, protein is just, out of the three macronutrients being protein, fat, and carbohydrates, it's the most metabolic. It's going to help you with your hunger and everything. It's just a good idea to up your protein. And low-carb diets, keto diets, like you're saying, they can be very effective. The problem is that for some people, it can be a disaster, and for others, it can be very, very appropriate to how they. And you know, the one thing about human metabolism that's kind of hard to deal with, which makes things so difficult and confusing, is that everybody's metabolism is so vastly different. So I would say I definitely recommend giving it a shot because they can be very effective. But see how your energy levels are and see how your mood is, and assess it from there. Because some people just absolutely cannot exist on a ketogenic diet.
Thank you very much for the call. Some people just hit the genetic lottery in some things, right? And then some people, they're just there's nothing they can do about it. That's just how their body's made, right?
All you broads out there watching Dancing with the Stars who say, I love those girls' bodies. I would love to have a body like that. And then you go out to the newsstand, and there's Julianne Hough and Cheryl Burke and all these beautiful girls. They're like, my slim down secrets. Let me tell you the slim down secrets. 45 bagels washed down with glazed donuts every morning. And then some soda to mix in a little bit of Mountain Dew with whiskey because and it's just like being said. I also, it's the same thing goes for guys. Every guy knows there's a guy like me who lives in the gym and eats egg whites and broccoli nonstop and still has to fight to have what I have. I have buddies I surf with that their existence is Taco Bell and whiskey, and they have a 14-pack. And it's just that's life, you know.
It's just life.
There's
right?
a margin you can work with exercise and diet. But 80% of it really is genetics, and it makes life easier to deal with when you can accept that.
That's true.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's something that I don't think gets said often enough, that there are some things that are out of your control, and people don't like to believe that, but it's just true.
And you look at all those people, and you go, everybody's got so much more control than I do, and they all do so much better.
And it may not
so
be the case at all, right?
Yeah, the certainly everybody, male or female, everyone you see on the covers of magazines, work their ass off, but they also are genetically gifted as well.
Right. Let's try Tom. He's got a great question for those of us who don't want to go to the gym. He's on line 2. Tom, welcome to the Psycho Buddy. You're on with Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hi. Go ahead.
Was actually the part that you pick up.
All right. Sorry about that. So, I hate going to the gym, but I want to lose weight. I don't know if I'll make my goal to the summer, but what's a good way to lose weight if you don't like the gym?
Do you mean exercising without going to the gym or just not working out at all?
Well, I don't mind working out necessarily. I'm just not a big fan of going to the gym that I go to is horrible.
Yeah, what are some other things that people can do if they don't want to even bother with a gym at all?
Walking,
I guess, is the one you hear a lot.
Anytime you can use, if you live here in Southern California, which it looks by your area code you do, you have incredible resources at your fingertips to go and work out and still, you know, get a great workout. And you push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and everything are available in every park and along every beachside here in Southern California. Go for hikes. Go for running on incline makes it incredibly more effective metabolically to someone who wants to get in shape, as opposed to, like, say, just going for a jog. So if you can go up to Runyon or in Malibu Canyon or somewhere, wherever it's close to you, go running in the sand and sand dunes and stuff, add a little resistance. Those are good ideas. Always swimming, going in the ocean. So there's plenty of ways to get out there and be active without just going to a standard gym.
And let me add this. Thank you very much for the call time. We appreciate it. Let me add this. And, Mike, I think you'd agree. You rent Rocky IV, and you see what he put himself through on the mountain getting ready for that fight without a gym. I mean, he just was out there in the woods just making it happen.
And they
right?
did the split screen with Drago in the lab, you know, with all the high-tech equipment. Rocky don't need that. He needs a log. He needs a log and some lunges.
Let's do one more because this is the lop call that we take every time we do Psycho Body, and it's Andre on line 7. I want everybody to get out your Kleenex and be prepared to weep because Andre has a problem that he needs some help with. Andre, you're on. Go ahead.
Well, earlier, guys, you were talking about the genetic, you know, you're born that way and that's it. I'm 5'4", 5'5", on a great day, depending on my heels. But, you know, I'm squat. So when I lift, when I go to the gym, I start to broaden out.
Yeah.
And I've wrestled for 15 years. I look like a wrestler.
Listen, here's your thing. You're swole, you're buff, but in clothes you look like a fat guy because you're 5'5".
Exactly.
Gotcha.
I had a friend the other day went up to me and said, hold on, lifted up my shirt and said, I just wanted to see if you got fatter or you're bulking up. And I was like, oh, thanks.
We all have that problem of looking too buff. I know exactly what you're talking about, Andre.
Here's the thing. That's actually incredibly difficult. People, you know, they may say, oh, well, this guy's lucky. He could just diet and everything's going to be fine. But muscular preservation when you're dieting down is incredibly difficult, and it drives people crazy because you work so hard to gain muscle mass, right. And then you just end up being, you know, turning into a skinny fat guy by going on these crash diets. Look into carb cycling, Andre. That's really a great way to preserve muscle mass while also losing body fat. And don't think that because your goal is to slim down that you should steer away from lifting weights. The most metabolic thing you can do hormonally, it's so beneficial to you. And also, like I said, it's going to keep your metabolism stoked to get in there and still lift heavy weights. But you just got to worry make your portions a lot smaller, eat a little bit more frequently, and then, like I said, look into carb cycling.
Good luck to you. Thanks for the call. All right, one more for you, Mike, from the email. Because it's Psycho Mike, JJ says, I have to know, has he figured out how many calories 30 seconds of sex burns?
It depends. You know, when you're a guy like me who's given a ton of anger and fast twitch into those 30 seconds, you know, you can really burst it because it's like a Tabata interval. You know what I'm saying, Barry? So I'm going to say anywhere between 90 to 120. I broke the microphone. And let me get back. I'm just too angry. Let me get back to Rocky IV real quick before I go.
Okay.
All right.
Guy is in Siberia.
Yeah.
Literally Siberia training.
Yeah.
Months preparing for this big fight in Russia. Gets into the ring. Tan. More tan than he's ever been, Sylvester Stallone. What? How is that possible?
That is an excellent point. All right. Psycho Mike, thank you so much for stopping by. Please keep in touch. All right. Lop it off, everybody. We put up a gallery at kevinandbean.com today of tattoos of artists, bands, musical acts that you love, and a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers tattoos out there. Didn't realize that. A little bit surprised by that, but they have been around for a long time. You can check that out at kevinandbean.com. You're listening to the world famous K-Rock. It is 8:41. Dr. Drew joins us in a half an hour. Also, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, it's time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We keep track of all the hottest viral videos flying around the Internet so that you don't have to. There's a bunch of great new stuff up there right now, including, of course, yesterday we were talking about the Miley Cyrus video of her singing Smells Like Teen Spirit. Really upset a lot of people that she would take on that iconic Nirvana song. Somebody has edited together Miley and her attempt at dancing on stage with the Elaine dance from the Seinfeld show.
Yes!
And they are identical, and it is very, very funny. That's one of the videos you can find up there. Also, Vin Diesel, when he's about 18 years old and was a B-boy before he became a cool Hollywood action star, teaches you how to break dance. That's another video you want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some that have audio that we want to play for you, though, on today's Internet Roundup. You've heard the news about Justin Bieber. Did not go very well from him in Australia. Here's what happened at his concert. You actually get to see this in the video when you watch it.
Pop star Justin Bieber has come under attack from flying eggs. The teen superstar was performing at Sydney's Acer Arena last night when six of them came out of nowhere. You can see two eggs fall first, then another four.
By the way, dynamic delivery from that newscaster.
Yes, I hate to hear him denounce a war.
No kidding. So if your fantasy has always been to see Justin Bieber get hit by eggs, that's definitely the video for you. The biggest movie in America right now, shocked everyone at the box office last weekend by making something close to $90 million, was Fast Five. And you got to wonder, you know, this is a franchise that's been around for a while. Who's the genius who was able to make this movie that's so, so big this year and playing well all over the year? Well, here's an actual TV interview with the screenwriter who wrote the movie.
So when you sat down to write this installment, were there certain elements you wanted to include?
I want the cars to drive fast and then some of them explode.
Oh. he's five, is the joke from The Onion, and they show clips, and I swear to God, when you just see the clips that they show during the interview, it looks like it was written by a five-year-old. But it's very, very funny. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel every week on his show does something called The Week in Unnecessary Censorship. It's always great.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
I am so f***ed up for this royal wedding.
More than 450 prisoners escaped from a prison in Afghanistan this morning. Most of them are Taliban f***ers.
Tonight, you weren't just a great box.
Do you think that he needs a mother f***?
Christina Aguilera already wants to f*** you.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better to do. I've got better to do.
I will never grow tired of This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. It's always so well done. Well, this was a huge week in the news, as you know, with the momentary capture and then killing of Osama bin Laden at that mansion in Pakistan. And because Osama's name rhymes with Obama's name, the president, there were an awful lot of broadcasters this week who had slip-ups where they got the two confused. And I don't think, I mean, there's some people say, oh, you know, they see it on Fox, for instance, and they go, oh, it's a Freudian slip. It's what they really mean. They wish. I don't think that's true at all. I just think you're on the air. You're disseminating a lot of information in a short period of time. The names are very similar. They're very closely linked together in the story. I think it's a super easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it any less funny. Here's a Fox New York affiliate, for instance, making the big announcement Sunday night.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. It was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden.
And by the way, you can see the shock on his co-anchor's face when he says that President Obama is dead. How about a broadcast veteran like Geraldo Rivera? Even he makes the same mistake.
Obama's dead. I don't care. What did I say? Osama bin Laden is dead.
Oops. Well, they're both Muslims. What the hell? Yeah. Here's the next one.
You know, coming to the Washington, D.C. on the day that, you know, they take Obama out. I mean, Osama Obama.
Right. He runs 45 miles a day. See how lucid you all are.
I don't understand that explanation, but easy mistake to make. Now, this is a weird video. This is a guy who there are not a lot of details as to where this was shot, but it looks like somewhere in the deep, deep south because he's on a tractor riding around in his field with a big old American flag, and he's shooting guns up in the air, okay? You don't see that very often in downtown San Francisco. So yeah. I'm guessing he's somewhere in the south. But here's a guy. Listen to how happy he is when he heard the news about Osama bin Laden. And who filmed? I mean, how did that whole video come together? Who said, hey, I'm going to go outside and drive around on my tractor with the American flag and shoot guns? You film me and we'll put it on YouTube. How did that happen?
Because that's what they do every day.
It's awesome.
Here's a guy who was filming himself. Now, he was a super patriotic guy in New York City where, of course, you know, people were just over the moon because it happened to them with the Twin Towers. So he decided on the subway, and this was, I guess, the next day or maybe Tuesday after the news, he was going to get a USA chant going. Now, USA chants, USA, USA, they were happening spontaneously everywhere after the news happened. I mean, you've seen the famous video what broke out at the baseball game, at that Mets-Phillies game when the news came out. People just loved to chant USA, and people were feeling very, very patriotic. Maybe not so much on this New York subway car as he tries to get the chant going.
All right, New Yorkers, this isn't always appropriate, but it is today. So if you don't mind anybody with a pair, join me. USA! USA! Come on! USA! Bin Laden's dead! USA! 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 All right!
Is there anything sadder than being the only guy chanting anything? And finally, Will Ferrell is back. He put on the President Bush makeup and had his own reaction. I think this was a Funny or Die video. Here's what former President Bush had to say about the death of Osama bin Laden.
Today, at my direction, Gilberto Dimondia, my gardener slash guy who helps me get down,
from my horse, Chocolate Thunder, went in and rooted out the gopher while I watched through the blinds of my second kitchen. After a ferocious 40-minute firefight involving a lot of hissing, a garden hose, and a rake, my staff killed Ardillo the gopher and took custody of his body.
Sir, they've killed Osama bin Laden.
They got bin Laden? Well, that's two good things.
There's a taco bar here?
That's three good things. This is a great day for America. How did I miss it? Show me where it is.
There you go. I love that, Will Ferrell. You can see all of these videos, and there's a link to click on every single video we've ever featured in the Internet Roundup. It's the complete Internet Roundup. All of that available for you 24 hours a day at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Account Temps matching highly skilled temporary financial professionals with their clients' requirements for over 60 years. Call or visit them at AccountTemps.com, an equal opportunity employer. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I'm going to pay Lisa after hours to come to my house and just read to me so I can just listen to her voice. That's what I'm going to do.
All righty.
You listen to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 8:54. So-called Dr. Drew joining us after the top of the hour. Right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I got word from the hallway, from the office. Been talking in the other room. Lop apparently is out. Now Lop is done.
What? Lop just got started
up
again.
Did we overuse it?
Bean used it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some people who, when they use some catchphrase or try to sound cool, are so incredibly uncool and nerdy that the minute they get around to using a catchphrase or a slang word, it immediately falls out of fashion.
What did
and
I do?
Bean is that guy.
I appropriately used it.
No, you didn't. And what on top of it, you're just so white and nerdy that the minute you say anything, it immediately becomes uncool when it comes out of your mouth. It's like your parents saying, okay, you kids have a jiggy time at the prom, okay? Get into your groovy limo and have fun at the prom, kids. You just ruin it. You just ruin it. So.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy.
Is that what you're saying? I'm the white nerdy guy that Weird Al's
singing
about?
You are the white nerdy guy. Everyone's just groaning. And, oh, now we can't use it anymore because Bean's using it.
I am deeply offended at anyone who believes that is a lop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about the time you tried to work Holmes in when you were trying to use Holmes as a phrase? You remember that?
What's up, Holmes?
Yeah. That is the kind of thing I'm talking about. That's what ruins it for everyone else.
Obviously, I was making fun.
Remember when you tried to be a part of Arsenio Hall's dog pound? That goes, ooh, 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 ooh.
Ooh, ooh, Arsenio Hall.
Remember that? How was that successful?
That was not successful at all.
Remember when Nelly had that smash hit song, It's Getting Hot in Here, that everybody was crazy about?
Sure.
This was the day people stopped liking it.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
And then, of course, how can we ever forget the day you killed Wazza?
What's up? What's up?
Yeah. You are where cool goes to die, my friend.
So
congratulations. You murdered Lop on its first day.
I'm now the Lop. That's what you're saying. I've
murdered
become the
it.
Lop. How dare you?
How dare you ruin our fun by using our words and killing them? So sad. All right. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Simon Cowell is richer. They released a list of the wealthiest Brits in the music business this weekend. Richer than Elton John, Mick Jagger, and Sting.
Dude.
He is sixth on the list of the richest Brits in the music business. Mm. Sixth. That beats out Elton John, who has $322 million to his name, by the way. Mick Jagger has $313 million. Sting has $297 million.
Wow.
Simon Cowell is worth $618 million.
Oh,
isn't that unbelievable? And the thing I don't get, and I guess I'm just not the type of motivated, driven person that Simon Cowell is, if I have $600 million, I'm not busting my ass to put a new television show on the air this fall. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm retired.
He's not doing it, I think, just to amass the wealth. I think he is driven to do it because he wants to be the best at what he does. By the way, if you're curious who's at number one on the list, Sir Paul McCartney.
Ah, that makes sense.
Legendary Beatle is worth $816 million.
Wow.
And that's after he gave whatever he gave to Hoppy McSlut-a-Lot.
That's right, yeah. He had a big, big check he had to write to her.
Yeah, so pretty strong. Oh, I'm sorry. No, not number one. Number one on the list is a record label executive in Britain called Clive Calder. Misread the list. He's number one. He's worth more than $2 billion.
Dude.
Yeah.
Here's the money shot.
There was the money shot right there. Glee! The summer tour that the 14 cast members are going out on the road with on May the 21st in Las Vegas, Nevada, and wrapping up on June the 18th in Uniondale, New York, is going to be filmed and then released in movie theaters in August. So they're going to be out in the summer doing the tour. They're going to film it in 3D and then put it in theaters on August the 12th for 2 weeks. So if you don't miss them, if you miss them on the road, you can see them in your local theater. Glee in 3D.
You know why I know Kevin and Bino are gay? Because they like Glee.
Oh, come on.
What's Glenn Beck going to do with that information?
Oh, it's a horror show.
It is a horror show, according to Glenn Beck, that Glee.
It's a live horror show.
How can we beat it?
We can't beat it. Can't beat it. We're just beaten down. And sad news, Jackie Cooper, who played legendary editor of the Daily Planet, Perry White, in the Superman movies that starred Christopher Reeve, has passed away at the age of 88 years old.
I'm sorry, who?
Jackie Cooper has been in show business his entire life, practically. He's co-starred with so many big, big stars. It was nominated for an Oscar, by the way, when he was 9 years old. He was in the Arc Gang comedy shorts, did a bunch of silent film work as well. He was a classic. Became an Emmy Award-winning TV director later in his career, so he has passed away. Sad news. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Henriksen from Millennium and Aliens is 71 years old. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath turns 63. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen is 52. Tina Yathers, who was the little sister on Family Ties with Michael J. Fox, is 38. Craig David is 30. Clark Duke from Kick-Ass and Hot Tub Time Machine turns 26. Lovely and talented singer Adele is 23. Chris Brown celebrates his 22nd birthday. And Danielle Fishel, until recently, host of The Dish over there in Style. Apparently, that's gone by the wayside. She was, of course, on Topanga on Boy Meets World, and she called in this morning, and she just couldn't be more adorable. 30 years old today. Happy birthday, Danielle. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Please, please me.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. It's in the air, happening in less than 3 hours. Tickets go on sale for our show Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Be a K-Rock Street Team member. You can do that at krock.com and get all the details as well. It is 9:10. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Beans Show. Got an all-new Beans Death Corner coming up. First, though, our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us back on the line. How are you, Drew?
Hey, Bean. What's up?
Well, congratulations, first of all. I know the ratings have been huge for the headline news show. I think, what, you're up over 400,000 viewers a night on that thing?
I think we're doing okay. Yeah, it's nice. It's been very interesting to try to, you know, launch a show and find our way and turn it into something that's unique and different.
Yeah, it's always tough to start a new project like that, especially when you're dealing with serious topics. And it's been, I mean, you've had such great guests on that show, and I don't get to watch it as much as I want. Kat Von D was raving about the time that she spent on the air with you. What was her issue, and what do you think made such an impact with her in talking to you on TV?
You know, I think a lot of people I interview kind of have the same experience, and Kat was no exception, which is that I'm just interested in the person. So I just sort of follow what I think is important that they're feeling and thinking, and just ask them questions about it, because I like people. I like Kat a lot. And so, you know, people like having an opportunity to talk honestly and openly, because, you know, my thing is not sitting there talking about their latest project or anything like that. It's either talking about an important topic that they know something about, or talking about themselves and their lives.
Yeah, much of what's on TV, and for that matter, much of what's on radio, and I've certainly been guilty of it myself on this show, is you just get in there and you do the shake, you know, the handshake and the publicity thing, and then say goodbye.
Right, but that's why a lot of them show up, you know, particularly for radio. I mean, maybe listeners don't realize that a lot of guests are doing the rounds. You know, they're promoting a movie, they're promoting a book, right, or something. That's what motivates them to get out of bed and come in. And, you know, we were doing something a little bit different. Also, we're kind of trying to focus on real people and not on celebrities, and I think that's kind of nice, too. So,
Do you see a big difference in the ratings when you have an interesting story from a regular viewer versus a celebrity on?
You know, we don't know enough about ourselves yet to answer that question. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
It's hard to show the trends yet, really, what's going on. It's also really interesting being to be on a news network, because things are done very differently in a news. It's not like a usual kind of talk show. It's not like radio. Although certainly, you know, years of being in radio really, really helped to do this kind of show. The way news is constructed and the way news organizations think and what they can and can't do are very different.
Right. I was watching you the other night. You had the Deadliest Catch guys on.
Yeah.
And you were talking about them being, I mean, you got into a very serious topic about the painkillers at an early age. And I know you've been speaking out about that for a long time, that, yeah, you know, kids should be very careful if they get hurt playing sports or something like that.
Before you ask questions, let me just say about that, you know, producers crack me up so much. They're like, we're going to show the segment where he tells his father he's a drug addict. And I talked to this kid for 2 minutes, and I went, that wasn't the first time you had that conversation with your dad. No, we've been doing that for years. You know, so, no, I've been in and out of treatment 4 times. Finally, I got it. Yeah, right. That's how it works.
My question for you was, and you talked a little bit about this on the show, but we spend so much time talking about drug and alcohol addictions. What about people who are addicted? I know we talked about sex addiction and things like that before. What about people who are addicted to adrenaline? Tell me about those people, because you do get the feeling with some of those Deadliest Catch guys that it's the thrill and the razor's edge of whether I'm going to live or die at work today that kind of drives them a little bit more than the money.
Yeah, and it's not adrenaline per se, but alcoholic addicts, people with the genetic predisposition for addiction, tend to have an overwhelmingly rewarding experience from extreme circumstances, from thrill. In fact, alcoholic addicts have a lot of anxiety, but they never feel better and they never feel more alive than when they're in extraordinary circumstances. So people that are alcoholic addicts, or even predisposed, not necessarily in the disease, but just with the genetic potential, make great shortstop, great fighter pilots, great extreme athletes. And look around, you know, in those arenas, and you'll see there's a lot of addiction alcoholism in there because that's what attracts those people. And they do get kind of an addictive process to that. But it's why the gene exists. I'm going to shorthand this for you, but, you know, this is a gene that causes a lot of death and destruction. So why has it always existed in the human genome, in the human populations? Because in extreme situations, these people are better survivors. They are at their best, and the time slows down for them. You know, if they're making a double play from the shortstop position, they can see every movement, every eye looking at them, and you know, it's an adaptive advantage.
That's interesting. How about the people who are addicted to, you know, buying things? They end up being hoarders or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that as a result of an addictive gene also, or is that some sort of just mental illness?
It's more in the mental illness care, but it has more rocket fuel behind it when it's addictive pathology, addictive chemistry behind it. But yeah, the buying thing is just a way of trying to, a not so effective way of trying to manage unpleasant feeling states. Oftentimes, these people had their only positive experience with, say, a loved one or something, in a situation where they're buying things, and so they retreat back to that same mechanism to try to feel okay.
We're talking to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky here on the Kevin DeBean Show. His program on HLN airs weeknights at 9, and of course 5 nights a week. Look for him across the country with Psycho Mike on Loveline. By the way, Psycho Mike was here last hour, and I don't want to say he's changed now that he's a star, but he wouldn't take off his sunglasses, he wouldn't sign autographs, he wouldn't look us in the eye.
I thought Gene Simmons was there.
It kind of looked like Gene Simmons. Dr. Drew, it really is such an interesting show, though, that you're doing there. And like you said, it goes so beyond the surface, and it's so rare to see actual meaningful conversation on television anymore.
You're making me feel so good about this program. I want you to know one thing. I'm never calling back again when Kevin is there. because you're so great to talk to by yourself. I don't feel attacked. I didn't have to hear that horrible intro. It's awesome.
Well, you're not a real doctor. I'm still not letting you fly on that. Now that Donald Trump's got Obama's birth certificate, I'm trying to get word to him that he needs to get you to prove the medical license.
I got it in my pocket right now. I've been practicing medicine for 30 years. It's a little difficult to hear that.
All right, Dr. Drew, have a great week, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Care.
Bye-bye. You're listening to good old K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 925. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. How about a brand new Beans Death Corner?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
It is true, I do love the death, and it's one of the only things in my life that I really adore and covet that I'm guaranteed to get. Because everything else that I look at, you know, hot chicks and commercials on TV, I'm never going to get those. No matter how much I want them, no matter how much I love them, I'm not going to get those.
Right?
Death, I feel like I got a pretty good shot of getting. And we got some great stories for you today. I just want to make a quick note, by the way. There were once 70 million of these. Now there are none. I'm talking about yesterday, the last surviving soldier from World War I died. Claude Trolls was 110 years old. He was the last one. There are no more World War I veterans left. So, sorry about that. Here's a great death corner story for you from Cincinnati. A man, for some reason we don't know why, decided he was going to climb the broadcast tower of a television station in Cincinnati named WLWT. Now, what are the reasons somebody would climb a broadcast tower?
I don't know. To jump off?
Drunk? High, maybe?
Yeah.
One of those things that just looks fun? Seems like a good idea? Well, officers investigated upon hearing there was a man spotted on the tower, and then they discovered body parts all over the neighborhood, including a severed hand on the ground near the transmitter and a torso in a next-door neighbor's yard.
Oh, God!
Some of the man's personal effects were found, nothing that identified him. Officers investigating the incident said the man was apparently trying to climb the transmitter tower during a break-in attempt. What? What can you break into at the top of a transmitter tower?
I don't know.
That seems ill-advised. That's not where the TV stuff is done. They were not sure whether he was electrocuted or fell from the tower. One person has been questioned about the incident. The person was not placed under arrest. But how hard do you have to hit the ground to splatter like that where your body parts are 100 feet apart?
I've never heard of that.
Or is it something that happens as a byproduct of being electrocuted? If that's in fact how he went, does it split you up and you fall down to the ground that way? I have many questions about that.
There's two big towers outside the station, which we should find out.
And I know who should climb those towers to test it out, Beer Mug.
Okay.
He tests everything.
You know how many emails I got and we all got about Osama bin Laden's death last weekend, and people were suggesting he would be a great death corner. Well, there's nothing much I can tell you about that you haven't heard already on the news. But here's an interesting sidebar as a result of the death of Osama bin Laden. You guys remember that Colorado construction worker who flew to Pakistan last year? He took on a one-man mission to hunt down Osama bin Laden. He said, I'm so tired of this. It's been 9 years at this point. I'm going to go find Osama bin Laden. He was just this crazy patriot who went over there with a machine gun and was determined to like comb every cave until he found him.
Yes.
Well, he last year ended up in the woods in northern Pakistan. He had a pistol, a sword, night vision goggles. He says now he believes he had a hand in forcing bin Laden out of the mountains where he was hiding. That's what drove him to the city. And for that reason, he'd like to get the $25 million reward that was offered for hunting down Osama bin Laden. He claims that he is due to at least a part of the reward money because he's responsible for shaking the trees to get Osama bin Laden out.
So he thinks Osama ran out. Ran out of the caves because he was there and on the hunt.
Because there was a Colorado construction worker in the woods with a knife.
Osama bin Laden said,
yeah, I can hide from everybody, but not from this guy. I'm sure there are going to be an awful lot of people who are going to be trying to get a piece of that $25 million reward. And finally, Yvette Vickers is the name. You probably don't recognize it today, but at one time, she was a very hot actress. She starred in the classic sci-fi movie Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. She was in another one that I haven't seen that I must now rent called Attack of the Giant Leeches, which sounds awesome. She has passed away at 74. There might not be too much to say about it except the way she was found. The next-door neighbor, also an actress named Susan Savage, noticed that the mail had been stacking up at Vickers' home. Some of it was starting to yellow in the mailbox. There were cobwebs, but apparently the post office had stopped delivering the mail. But usually that's a bad sign if nobody's bringing in the mail, right?
Yeah.
So the neighbor started poking around, went through the front gate to approach the house. The house had been run down a little bit. She looked through the windows, didn't see anything. Entered the house, saw that it looked like an episode of Hoarders, pack-ratted boxes of junk and old clothes and letters piled up in every room. The house was in disrepair on the inside. She worked her way upstairs, found a small space heater that was still running, which strikes me as unusual when you find out that then the body was found on the floor that had been there. Investigators will say up to a year her body had been there.
Well, who was paying the electric bill?
It does seem like the electric company was giving her a little bit of a free ride if the space heater was on for almost a year while she was dead. The neighbor knew Miss Vickers, but said, even though I knew her, she was completely unrecognizable to me because her corpse had mummified.
Oh, so creepy.
And what really makes this sad, besides the fact that you think about this poor old lady who didn't have anyone to look in on her after she'd been, you know, missing for a week or a month, however long it takes, it seems like at some point somebody would miss her, right?
Yes.
What really makes me sad is that she was the Playboy Playmate of the Month in July of 1959. Russ Meyer, the legendary film director, is the one who actually photographed her centerfold. If we can't look after our playmates, what kind of country have we become?
We're doomed.
We Doesn't need, like, a place for them, right?
Yes, we need, like, an old age home. If you've ever been a Playboy Playmate, you ought to be safe to get old. Yeah, you're not hot anymore, but just because you were, when you were 20, you took off your top, we should take care of you for the rest of your life.
You ought to
be
able
to, there ought to be a phone number that you can call and go, hey, you know, I'm a June of 86, I'm not feeling so good, can you put me in the home? Right?
There should be.
I think every man, whoever, you know, to, yes. you know, should yes. donate yeah. a little, and yeah. you'd have millions of dollars.
I think that is a fantastic idea, and I am volunteering to run the Home for Old Playmates. That sounds like the perfect job for me, and this has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's 9:40. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Regarding the Death Corner story about the guy whose body parts exploded all over the neighborhood when he tried to climb a TV transmitter tower, here's Allison writing in. If the voltage is high enough, a body will literally explode when it makes contact with a power source because the electricity flows into the body and has nowhere to go. I work at an electrical engineering company, and some of the substation testing guys have some good stories about stuff like that. That sounds like a line of work I need to get into.
Yeah,
that sounds
definitely.
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
So thank you, Allison. We appreciate that. All right, time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman. What's going on?
I don't know, Bean. You tell me what's going on. Oh, come on, Mug! I told you we're going to start with it! For God's sakes!
Set it up again.
I don't know, Bean. You tell me what's going on.
What's up, Holmes?
What's up, Holmes? Look, I don't remember what the context was.
Doesn't matter. You're the killer of cool. The cool murderer.
But sometimes you do stuff and you say stuff in a way to be funny. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're mocking.
And sometimes you're lame.
Beer mug.
Oh, cool. We don't have time for that.
We'll explore it tomorrow when we cover Bean, how Bean murders cool.
I don't know that we're going to have the time for that. We got a very full show tomorrow.
Ooh, Arsenio Hall!
That's what made the show get canceled, by the way. Bean said that, and next day, Arsenio Hall was canceled. It was no longer
that
cool.
Cool. That was a pretty authentic recreation of Arsenio's dog pound chant.
Yeah, it was.
Ooh.
Bunch of dogs in West Hollywood.
Ooh, Arsenio!
All right, ladies, sad news for you. Superman is no longer available.
Aww.
Yeah, if you had dreams of being Lois Lane and getting boned up in the Fortress of Solitude, that's not going to happen. Henry Cavill, the actor who will play Superman in the next incarnation of that superhero on the big screen, he got engaged to his girlfriend, Ellen Whittaker, over the weekend. Congratulations. Apparently, he, like any good future son-in-law, asked her dad's blessing before he popped the question. And Dad said, hell yeah, Superman, you got a 3-movie deal. You can marry my daughter.
She'll be taking care of her fine. Have you seen anything this Henry Cavill has done?
Yeah, I watched him in The Tudors. He was excellent in The Tudors.
Oh, will he be a good Superman?
Oh, yeah. He is...
good choice?
He is ruggedly handsome and a great actor.
Oh, okay.
And manly as heck.
He is.
As all get out.
Yeah.
And I think he's an excellent choice. I've never heard his American accent, but I'm guessing he could do it. They all seem to be able to do it over there. UK.
They're better at doing our accent than we are at doing theirs, that's for sure.
They sure are.
I had, in the office pool, I had Peter Dinklage. I really thought he was the inside track for Superman, but it didn't work out. He's a fine actor.
He's a little person actor, Lisa.
I know who that is now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would have been going in a different direction, but it would have still been good.
Tomorrow's Friday, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow's
Ralph
Friday.
Is not an asshole.
Sure. Tomorrow's Friday. I just got to keep holding. I just put my head
we
down.
We do not
and just...
have time for this kind of silliness.
Oh, come on.
And while we're talking about Superman, sad news. Jackie Cooper, who played Perry White, the editor of the Daily Planet in all the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, he passed away at the age of 88. He didn't win a bad prize. He's dead. It's a difference. He was an actor for the majority of his life. When he was 9 years old, he was nominated for an Oscar. Worked with an actor named Wallace Beery in a classic film called The Champ about a boxer and a little boy that he adopts. Mm-hmm. It was remade years later with John Voight and Ricky Schroeder. But very talented guy. At the age of 88, he passes away. Rob Pattinson says he has no friends.
Aww.
Says he's a lonely guy. Told AbsoluteNow.com that no one ever calls him. Well, yeah, because you're a buzzkill, Pattinson.
He doesn't look like a party.
You're the Bean of the Twilight cast, is what you are, Pattinson. Apparently, he tries so bad to get together with everyone in his phone book from time to time, and if no one's around to hang out with, he says he sits alone and drinks himself loaded. Good times.
He's awesome.
Daniel Craig is much more than just 007. Apparently, he's quite the chef. He worked with Harrison Ford and Sam Rockwell in the new movie Cowboys and Aliens, which looks great, by the way, directed by Jon Favreau. And he used to barbecue for the boys. Apparently, word caught on, and dozens of people started waiting and getting in line for his food. He couldn't keep up with the demand, and so he had to hire a caterer to feed the cast and crew, as they expected him to make delicious meals.
Wow, he must be good.
Because he's soft. Sean Connery could have made those meals, that's all I'm saying. And Cheryl Cole, the beautiful, talented pop singer from the UK, has in fact been named as a judge on The X Factor, the new Simon Cowell TV series. Very revolutionary show. Apparently people get up on stage and sing, and they compete against each other, and the winner gets a record contract.
Well, who's going to want to watch a show like that? That doesn't make any sense.
It's quite the gamble, but I think maybe they'll be able to pull it off. She was part of a girl group called Girls Aloud back in the day. Then she had a very successful solo career. She had a high-profile marriage to a soccer player named Ashley Cole. And that's what made her such a big star in the UK. And now she's coming over to the States to see if she can recapture some of that success. So we'll have to wait and see.
These are not professional entertainers that get on the stage to sing? They're just regular people?
Amateurs looking for their big break.
Well, that's a ridiculous idea for a show.
And how much do you love the woman you're going to marry? That's the question Guy Ritchie had to ask
himself. How much do I love her now?
No, at the time.
Oh, at the time.
What would you do to make her happy at the time of your marriage? Guy Ritchie had to ask himself that question when he was married to Madonna. See, at the time, Madonna was going through her Kabbalah phase, which is a version of the Jewish faith. And circumcision's a big deal to that particular religious sect. So Guy Ritchie, a Brit, and the Brits don't really buy into the circumcision so much, no.
Oh, really?
He had to get clipped for his wife. That's love.
That's
that is
painful
love.
As
that,
an adult,
as an
isn't
adult,
it?
That is a painful procedure. And he did it because he loved her. No word on whether he regrets it or not, but that story came out this week. The good news is he was able to make a wallet from what was left over. So, he gets to carry it around anyway. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Henriksen from Millennium. Aliens, 71 years old today. Really talented actor. What was he on recently? I think it was Fringe. I think he had a role in Fringe.
Oh,
recently. Was
he?
Yeah.
That totally seems like the kind of show he'd be on, doesn't
it? Yeah, he was really good in that. 71 years old today. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath is 63. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen celebrates his 52nd birthday. Tina Yothers, who was Little Jennifer on Family Ties with Michael J. Fox, is 38. British R&B star Craig David is 30 years old. Clark Duke, Kick-Ass and Hot Tub Time Machine, celebrates his 26th birthday. Singer Adele is 23. Chris Brown is 22. And our buddy Danielle Fishel celebrates her birthday today. She is 30 years old. We talked to her earlier this morning. We're getting a lot of love for the idea of having D-Fish on as our sports gal,
cool.
By the way. I didn't know this, but she used to co-host a sports show, a radio sports show.
Wow.
Internet radio sports show.
I had no
idea. Big sports fan. And she's funny and adorable, so I vote yes.
She sounds like she's available since you got her TV show canceled.
I did not. It happened well before. I didn't even know it was canceled when I was talking about it earlier today. I found out after the fact. But look, if she's looking for a job, Beer Mug, we can fire him too, right?
Come on,
we can make room.
We can
have Mug's
job, sure.
After the way you played that clip this morning, she couldn't do any worse.
Danielle would have had the clip ready.
That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to everybody for listening to today's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be back tomorrow with one more for the week, including Mark Cuban on the show. Now, I know that there are Lakers fans who will not be pleased that we're talking to Mr. Cuban.
But keep in mind the Kevin and Bean jinx.
If you believe in the Kirks, this is good news, right?
Exactly.
I'm sure we'll talk about Ron Artest and the foul and everything else with Mark, but he's actually on to talk about Shark Tank, which is so good.
I love Shark Tank so much.
Such a good show.
Oh, I love Shark Tank so much.
Mark Cuban tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Ralph, I haven't seen his site or his book, but Robert Elder, It Was Over When. What's that about?
You know it was over when. He had a site where people would write in and talk about the moment they could tell it was the death knell for their relationship. And He collected a huge bunch of great, great stories about people who knew, and the moment they knew that the relationship they were in was doomed. And then he's written a book, which is the best of those stories, culled from his website. That's very, very funny and entertaining. So we'll be talking to him tomorrow.
Also, Friday means Ralph has the movie beat.
Thor!
We'll be talking to Thor himself. Chris Hemsworth is going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. And I'm really excited about this. Based on the Katy Perry story you told us earlier in the week about how her religious upbringing was so strict that they couldn't even use a Dirt Devil brand vacuum cleaner because it had the word devil in it.
Couldn't say deviled eggs. Had to say angel eggs. They used to call them angel eggs.
I am fascinated with people who grow up like that and how many then go on to rebel and go into directions that Katy Perry has gone into with kissing girls and marrying sex addicts.
And Satanism.
So tomorrow, I'm not sure that's been confirmed.
Yes.
So tomorrow we're going to look for people who have had those ultra strict religious upbringings where you've been deprived of many, many things and craziness like you can't have deviled eggs. I think that's an amazing way to grow up. So we're going to talk to you tomorrow if that's you. And that's all coming up right here tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.